When I came to this company, I knew there was going to be a lot of hard work ahead, and there was. Because it's a highly volatile market we're dealing with.
God, this is so great for Calvin, isn't it?
Well, he's done quite a job.
You know, got a standing ovation at corporate last week. I was there.
Mm-hmm. He's very articulate.
For a black guy.
Know what I mean?
No, Bill. I really don't know what you mean.
The first step in fighting racial prejudice is taking a stand. Imagine the power of one voice. Find yours at freedomcenter.org. A message from the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center and the Ad Council.
It just simply invades every pore of your skin.
Real men, real depression. Writer Steve Lappin talks about it.
It affects the way you feel. It affects the way you love. It's just a blanket that covers everything. And it's one that's just so damned asphyxiating. And at times you just say, it's enough already. It just feels like enough.
It takes courage to ask for help. For information, call the National Institute of Mental Health at 1-866-227-NIMH.
Hi, I'm Doris Roberts. Finding affordable quality child care is a daily struggle for parents. 29 million children in America need a place to go while their parents work. Working mothers with young children spend more money on child care than they would on public college tuition. By supporting the efforts of Colonel's Kids, you can help make quality YMCA child care available to more children. To help, please visit colonelskids.com or ymca.net.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
We're not. Okay, there we go. Hey, flip the switch, people. That's all we got to do. Flip the switch. Biz. You got the switch flipped. All right, good deal. Glad to be with you this afternoon. I want you to fasten your seatbelts because we got a great show for you today. Coming to you live from the blue waters and sandy beaches of gorgeous Fort Myers, Florida. A nice area here, a gorgeous day, about 88 degrees, low humidity outside. Wish you all were here. I hope wherever you're at today, you're having a good day. Wild week again. I get tired of saying that every week, a wild week every week. I don't know when it's going to end. I've been paying attention, close attention to politics since my childhood, actually. And I don't think there's ever been a time, even through the Vietnam War, even through the Kennedy election, even through the impeachment hearings with Clinton, even through this, that, and the other thing, Lyndon Johnson not running for office, I don't think I've ever remember a time in politics when things have been so tumultuous, so in an uproar, let's face it, so screwed up. I can't believe it. You know, I see some of these things happen and my jaw drops. And I just, you'd think by now we'd all be getting jaded to it. We'd be getting used to it. We'd no longer be shocked. But every week something happens and just absolutely shocked. And I don't know about you, but it gets to me. It really does get to me. A crazy week, and you know, it's come to this. The country that I and millions of others love so dearly is now known around the world as the evil empire of George W. Bush. Let's face it, that's how it is. For over 200 years, The United States of America has carefully cultivated and projected the image of a good and decent, kind and caring nation. For a couple of hundred years, the rest of the world has known that we occupied the high moral ground of humanity. That's the way it has always seemed. On many occasions, the USA has sacrificed her blood and her treasure to help those in need. We've always stood arm in arm with the good and decent people of the world against, well, against those who would visit evil and hardship upon those who could not defend themselves. We've helped fight against disease, famine, pestilence, the terrible effects of natural disasters, not for our gain, but for the good of humanity. That's why this nation has been looked upon as the shining example of all that's good in the world. That's why millions of people from many other countries want to come to our shores and live the good life. Not just the good life of prosperity, but also the good life of living amongst decent and honorable people who honestly care about their brothers and sisters on this good earth. But I see this changing right before my eyes. I see the world opinion of America changing for the worse, and I see it happening quickly and in a very out-of-control manner. We seem to be spiraling downward at a breakneck speed, and I believe it's going to be hard to stop this downward direction unless we act decisively and quickly, and by quickly I mean by the first week in November. I can only hope that it's soon enough to save what's left of our reputation around the world. I can only hope that by then this administration hasn't taken us so far down the path of defeat that there's no turning back and no recovering. But I'm afraid for our nation. I really am. The events of this past week are without question one of the most humiliating chapters in American history. I know you've all seen what's gone on this week. That a few soldiers would behave in such a despicable manner is not the main issue here. Out of 140,000 or so American soldiers, there's bound to be a few bad apples. It's going to happen. What I'm talking about is the shameful action and positions taken by so many Americans when this whole sad saga came to light, starting right at the top with George W. Bush. Did any of you hear him apologize, I mean really apologize to the Arab world for the actions of the United States military personnel? Did you hear him apologize to the rest of the world and to the citizens whose army committed these acts? I didn't hear it. Decency starts at the top, and the man at the top of our government just couldn't find it within himself to issue an apology on behalf of the United States of America. Would that be a sign of weakness? I don't think so. It'd be a sign of strength. An apology for what happened would be, and I mean a sincere apology, heartfelt, it'd be a sign of righteousness and decency and the morality we supposedly adhere to here in the USA. But the man didn't have the guts. He didn't have the fortitude it takes to apologize for something that was really wrong. His title, remember, is Commander-in-Chief, and he wants to pass the buck. What about his and the right wing's favorite phrase, personal responsibility? What about it? Who in a position of leadership in this country have you seen take the responsibility for what happened? Oh, yeah, Rumsfeld made a half-hearted attempt because he had to in front of the hearings people yesterday. How many of you remember President Kennedy back during the Cuban Missile Crisis? I do. I remember him sitting at his desk telling us about the invasion. You remember the invasion that went terribly awry? The CIA had told Kennedy that it was okay to invade Cuba, that we had plenty of help there and we could do it easily, and it all fell apart. It was a disaster. John F. Kennedy walked into the Oval Office that night in front of TV cameras, in front of America, in front of the world, and was a man. He was a man. He was a president of the United States. He says, it's my fault. The buck stops here at this desk. Doesn't stop there at the Bush desk, does it? And what about the right-wing radio stars who all banded together to try to promote the notion that this was all just a little bit of horseplay? Fraternity pranks are blowing off steam, as Mr. Oxycontin Limbaugh said this week. He and Hannity were at their very insensitive best this week with their comments about prisoner abuse. Can you imagine the outrage put forth by those guys if it had been pictures of our soldiers treated in that manner? Can you just hear them screaming in their best righteous indignation about violations of the Geneva Convention and war crimes if it had been naked American soldiers in those photos? Wouldn't this entire nation have literally seen red? And who could blame us for feeling that way? And yet, it's our soldiers committing these crimes, so it's okay. Just blowing off of a little steam. These guys disgust me. But you know, what really disgusts me the most are the millions of Americans who seem to have agreed with the likes of Limbaugh and Hannity. It's war, they cry. Anything goes. These are bad guys, and they deserve what they get. You're all anti-American and traitors for condemning this. We need to get information from them, and this is the only way. Look at what they did to some of our people. You're not supporting our troops, and on and on and on until I want to vomit from hearing them rationalize the acts of these sick, depraved soldiers who did these terrible acts. What about 9/11, they say? I say, so what about it? Do you have information that says these people abused, that these people that did abuse prisoners were involved in 9/11? I'll tell you what, people, and I mean you people who think it was okay and not a big deal, there's going to be a lot more 9/11s on account of acts like this. There's going to be a lot more 9/11s because of your attitudes about this. A world who sees Americans not being sensitive or apologetic about these six acts is going to react in a manner not kindly to this nation. I'll tell you that much. That's how it's going to be. And we're going to pay, and we're going to pay big time for these criminals. And we'll have no one to blame but ourselves for not rising up and letting our government know that we will not, under any circumstances, stand for any representative of the United States of America acting in such a disgusting and immoral manner. These people did this, took these photos. They weren't afraid of getting caught because they knew it was okay. They knew it was okay. That was the general attitude. Bush was too much of an egotistical wimp to make the statement he should have uttered. He only cares about his political skin. Otherwise, he would have done the right thing and issued a true, heartfelt apology to the world on behalf of the United States. The good and decent people of this country expected no less. I heard Ted Kennedy say something that literally broke my heart as an American. And I want you to think about this. Many of you heard it. Ted Kennedy said, "The Statue of Liberty is no longer the symbol of the United States around the world. The symbol of the United States is now that guy standing on that box with a hood over his head and the electrical wires hooked up to him." That's what people think of when they think of the United States now. At times like this, I weep for my country. For I know it's a good and decent nation. And I can't stand to see it thought of as anything less. We've got to repair this somehow. We have to repair it. God only knows how we're going to do it. Well, you're invited to call us, 888-602. Biz, did you watch that this week?
Actually, I did. You'd be very, very, very proud of me.
You watched Donnie Rumsfeld yesterday?
Yeah, I never watched one of these before, and I was very curious to see because, I mean, these pictures are just all over the place, and I wanted to know what's going on with them. And I tell you what, when the opening comments were first being made, and Rumsfeld's just sitting there shuffling through papers, you could tell he wasn't thinking seriously about this, and I was just amazed because by the end of that press conference or committee hearing or whatever you call it, he had sweat at the top of his forehead, and I think now it's in perspective for him of this is real, this is something that I actually have to deal with, and I can't just blow it off like I have everything else.
I think it's on the line for Don Rumsfeld. I do. I don't know what's going to happen to him personally, but they may keep him, they may not, although politically it would be a seriously damaging blow for Bush to have to get rid of him right now, I think.
It's almost a serious political blow for him to keep him right now, too.
Either way you go, I think you're exactly right. Hey, you can call us, you know, at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. That's toll-free, you know. And if you're local here, you can call us at 479-5540. 479-5540. Going to go to the phones right now. Going to go to John in Fort Myers. John, welcome to the program. All right.
I wanted to talk about this, the situation with these photographs of these enlisted people doing, performing these, whatever you call them, atrocities, hazings, whatever. The thing that bothers me about all of this is that I look at these photographs and it reminds me so much of the photograph of Lee Harvey Oswald standing with the cheap Italian rifle and the pro-Castro brochure that was circulated to the press within days after Kennedy's assassination. It seems like so much of a staged event. Do we really believe that these enlisted people, who are between the ages of 19 and probably 24, 27 tops, are going to take it upon themselves to do these things and take photographs? Do we really believe that of these people? I know some young reservists. I know some people who are stationed here and who have been sent overseas in a variety of capacities. I couldn't imagine them taking it upon themselves. I don't care what temperament they may have or what things they may do when nobody's watching. But as military people in a war zone, to take that upon it, to me, it looks like they've been made what Lee Harvey Oswald calls himself to be, a patsy. They've been made patsies. I think that the intelligence community, and remember that
why would the intelligence committee do this? Why would they want this to come out in the open?
I don't think they would want it to come out in the open.
Well, then what good would the pictures do as far as they wouldn't look like patsies?
I think
they're
out so that the officers, the intelligence officers who were involved, would never have to take the heat. Didn't it strike you as funny how all of the neocon radio hosts rushed to say when this came out, oh, well, those people involved who did it, who were there, should pay the price? That, I mean, it was a contest to see who could get there first with that message, and it focused on the enlisted people and all these photographs of the enlisted people. I mean, with the woman posed bending over with the cigarette hanging out of her mouth, everyone looking as insolent as they possibly could, and we're supposed to believe that these are just, you know, taken on the spot, no planning, no direction from above. Somebody from above saying, no, this will be okay. Go ahead. It's great. It'll work out fine.
Oh, I think they had tacit approval. I think they knew the conditions were such in that prison that they wouldn't get prosecuted. They wouldn't get caught. They wouldn't get in any trouble at all. This Lindy England, for example, the gal with the cigarette and all that, she's from this place in what I think it's called Fort Ashby, West Virginia. And it's a small rural place in the hills of West Virginia, and they said one of them here interviewed one of the citizens, says a lot of people think here they just ought to blow up all of Iraq. A colleague of Lindy's father said the people in Fort Ashby were sick of hearing the whining. We went there to help the jackasses, and they started blowing us up. Lindy didn't kill them. She didn't cut them. She should have shot some of the suckers. That's what he says. So I don't know. I got to tell you, John, I do know people. I don't know them, but do I see any of our young people doing something like that? Yes, I do. There's some bad apples, and I happen to know absolutely positively about some things that took place in Vietnam by young people, so I know it can happen.
Well, I agree with you on that, but I remember reading the female commander. I don't know what rank she was, but
she was a brigadier general,
reservist. Early on, when this thing broke, she was saying, "I was." This was under the direction of intelligence officers, and then all of a sudden, I never read any more about that. Suddenly, that she wasn't being quoted as saying these things, or she wasn't being quoted at all, as far as I could see. My limited viewpoint of what I see in the press, but I don't know. I look at those pictures and they look staged.
Well, I think they are staged, but I think they were staged so they could be souvenirs for people back home. Hey, John, got to run. Got
Thank
a board
you very
full
much,
of people.
Guys.
Thanks for your call. Going to go to Diane in Fort Myers. Diane, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Guy. America needs to start doing some homework and getting educated. They need to look into what is the Hegelian Germanic dialectic form of government. And you got to go back to Prescott Bush, who is the one that, through his funding, brought in Adolf Hitler into power. You've got to look into how this country is going under this Bush regime in the way of taking away our freedoms. You create a problem, you get a reaction, and then you get your agenda carried through. They've got to look into the stock markets from Japan, China, and London concerning the American Airlines a few days before the 9-1-1 bombings or the 9-1-1 attacks occurred on the World Trade Center towers, to start figuring it out, start opening up their eyes. They need to start looking into Diebold and the black box voting machines. They need to start waking up, because I'm telling you, people, you're under a fascist government right now. You don't know how far you've got to go with maintaining any freedom whatsoever. And the more people in America keep sticking their heads in the sand, trying to figure it out on a sane level of thinking when you're dealing with insane people that are socialist and want to walk over you and take away your freedoms and have you work as slaves for them to keep pocketing big billions for their corporations, fight wars that are over corporate profits, then expect it, people, and quit complaining about it.
Well, America needs to wake up, Diane. Thank you very much for your call. They do need to wake up. Got to go to Amanda in Georgia. Amanda, welcome to the program.
Hi, guy. How are you doing this
Good.
Week? Pretty damn like the rest of us, huh, about what happened?
Oh, jeez. I tell you.
Do you realize, guy, how hard an organization such as my small and United Veterans of America is going to have now trying to get donations to help veterans?
Sure. Sure.
This is outrageous. And I'm going to tell you who bears some responsibility in this. The Rush Limbaughs. We've got the Sean Hannitys. The Coulters. They have infiltrated so much anything goes in the name of patriotism. Yet we're the ones who are unpatriotic. There's some good soldiers over there. But we don't know what they're being told. And I think part of that session with Rummy yesterday, wasn't it Hillary who said there was a message about the Geneva Convention?
Right.
Being sent right down from the top. There's no contriteness there. They said they saw, some of the pundits said they saw contriteness. I didn't see contrite. I saw a man scared to death. He's going to lose his job.
Well, you know, they're saying they didn't try and cover it up, and yet, what was it, General Myers that called CBS and begged them not to show that?
Oh, yeah.
No, there's no cover-up.
No cover-up. I'll tell you something else what's really scaring me. When Bush said, bring them on, what did he mean by that now? I mean, I'm really having to think about, what did he mean by bring them on? Because we're ready to torture them?
I don't know what he meant by it. I don't think he knew what he knew meant by it. You know, had that, was that, did he say, he didn't say that the same day. No, that was a different day when he had the Mission Impossible thing,
he
wasn't it?
He says so many stupid things, it's hard to keep up with what he says. But I'll tell you what, I cannot believe I'm like you. I wake up every single day, and every single day I am more, I'm just enraged. And the people have got to quit drinking the Kool-Aid. I also sent a letter to John Kerry, and I want him to put a little more passion in taking this country back. We're not going to have a country. We're not going to have a country by 2008 under this regime.
Well, it's lurking worse every day, I can tell you that. It is lurking worse for every day. I found a letter you sent. I'm going to read a little later in the program, if that's all right with you.
Is it the letter to John Kerry?
Yes, we're going to talk about that a little later.
That's fine with me.
I want all you Kerry fans and all you Democrats to hang on, because a little later we're going to talk about that.
I hope this is okay with you, Guy. You're carrying my CD there. Take it back.
Yes.
I want to pledge something right now. For anyone who orders that CD, I will send 50% to the Guy James Show.
Well, thank you.
And if you listen to the CD, I want you to get out and register voters, and let's take this country back. We cannot, people, we cannot keep going this way. We cannot. And we didn't put the man in the office. He's there. And he's got us in a mess over in the Middle East, and we're hated by every country. Let's turn things around. If you order the CD, I promise. I promise percentages to the Guy James Show to keep this show on the air so people can hear.
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you very much. Have a great one. Hey, right now we've got a big event coming up. I think it's next week in Orlando. The ladies in the DNC are important to what's going to take place this year. Number of votes. I don't know how it breaks down as far as numbers, but we need a strong, strong, strong turnout by the women of the Democratic Party this year and the independents as well, and I think we can even sway some people from the right to come over and vote with. And that's what we're going to talk about just for a few minutes. I've got Laura Pena, the program manager for the DNC Women's Vote Center, and they've got an event coming up in Orlando. What is it, next week, Laura? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Guy.
Welcome to the program.
Right. Thank you so much. Women are going to be a crucial, crucial voice this election. We're going to have a training program in Orlando next Friday, May 14th, 1 o'clock at the Hyatt Regency. This program is called Democratic Voices. It's a communications training program based on a very, very simple philosophy that when women speak, other women listen, and women vote. Eleanor Roosevelt once said, it's up to the women. So we know that women's votes are the margin of victory for Democratic candidates across the board, both men and women candidates. And we know that it's more likely that women will vote if they believe what's at stake in this election is important to themselves and their families. What does that mean? That means we want equal pay for the work we do, women that is. We want health care we can afford. We want the right to make our own reproductive decisions. We want quality schools for our children. And Social Security and Medicare that will be there for us in our old age, Guy.
Gee, Laura, that sounds like we Democrats must be interested in family values.
Yes, most definitely, but you know what? Not the rhetoric of family values. Of actually putting the resources, $9 billion, the NCLB, the No Child Left Behind Act, is underfunded by $9 billion and left about 400,000 students, particularly in minority communities, left behind. What John Kerry will bring to the table is that funding and resources for a solid education for our children.
Well, that's one of those things, you know, that's saying family values. I have to laugh every time I hear him saying it, because when you look back over history, especially recent history, you take a look and see what has the Republican Party done for the family? Nothing. It's always been the Democrats that have helped out to help and spur the family along and help the family out.
Most definitely, Guy. And also, you were talking about women being the most important. One of the most important parts of this election, that's definitely true, were 56% of women in 2000 turned out to vote at the polls. Now, let me tell you that about 46% of those were married women, and much less were single women. Married women tend to vote Republican, and single women tend to vote Democrat. So our goal is to get those single women out to the polls and also have that family value message that's backed up with resources, backed up with real plans to get both of those constituencies in the women's community out there.
How do you plan to get the single woman out to vote? What is the tactic you would use to get the word out to the single voter lady?
Actually, that's one part of our program that's going to be held on Friday, May 14th. This is actually going to be bilingual. If you speak English and Spanish or just English and are interested in reaching out to the Spanish-speaking community, we're going to be talking about how you get the message out to your friends. Because women overwhelmingly get their information from other women, from their friends, from their family members. And so what it is, it has to go to the grassroots level, Guy. It has to be woman to woman. We have to be talking to our friends at coffees, at work, at PTAs. And that's how we'll get our message out, and that's how other women will go vote.
So you're expecting a big turnout for this event coming up? You said it's the 13th?
It's the 14th, which is Friday, yes. And I do. We are also working alongside with the DNC Hispanic Summit, which will be national leaders coming to Orlando for a weekend of strategizing and getting together and just, you know, making sure that the Hispanic community is well represented in this election. There's also going to be a Campaign 101 training for for younger folks and older folks who are interested in really getting their hands dirty in this campaign and going out on the trail. If anybody would like any information, please feel free to visit our website, which is at www.democrats.org. You can go to that site, get all the information you need, and there's still openings in all of the programs. So I encourage you to visit our website, which is www.democrats.org.
And have all the clubs, the Democratic clubs and so forth, been advised of this, or we're going to have the people listening in that, who are club presidents and so forth, visit and get that out to their members?
Yes, most definitely. We've reached out to the state party. A state party has a number of events going on that weekend as well. We've reached out to our young Democratic clubs, our women's Democratic clubs down there as well, guys. So, you know, if anybody needs more information, please feel free to visit us, like I said. Or you can email me at womensvote@dnc.org.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Laura, please say hello to our friend Candy and Will down at the DNC.
Always
glad to have folks on letting us know what's happening. We're going to keep in close contact throughout the season because we're going to bring home some victories for the Democrats.
We will, and Florida is very important. So
you
thanks
betcha.
So much.
Thank you. Okay. Laura Pena, program manager for the DNC Women's Vote Center. Gals, you are important to this effort, extremely important to this effort. So, get involved in that. We're going to pause for a break right now, and I want you to know you're listening to the Guy James Show on WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back after a couple of words.
The Guy James Show.
With nerves of steel, with incomparable courage, with fierce determination, with uncompromising resolve, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces go forth. And wherever and whenever they go, the USO will be there to touch their spirit, to comfort them, to remind them, to simply and heartfully thank them for the extraordinary gift they give us all. Until every brow is soothed and every hand is held, until every battle's won and every song is sung, until everyone comes home. Find out more about the USO and how you can help at USO.org. With nerves of steel, with incomparable courage, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces go forth. And wherever and whenever they go, the USO will be there. Until every brow is soothed and every hand is held. Until every battle's won and every song is sung. Until everyone comes home. Find out more about the USO and how you can help at USO.org.
Did you know there are other signs of rosacea besides facial redness, pimples, and visible blood vessels? Other symptoms may include burning, stinging, or swelling of the face, and even enlargement of the nose. Rosacea can also affect the eyes, causing a bloodshot appearance and irritation that could lead to vision loss. If you have any signs of rosacea, see a dermatologist or call the National Rosacea Society at 1-888-NO-BLUSH.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Back with you on the Guy James Show. Hey, we're going to have a lot of interesting talk today. We're going to have some fun. It's an intense time. Very intense time going on right now. Wouldn't you agree? I'm sure you would. Hey, call us 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. And if you're local, you can call us at 479-5540. Love to have you call us today. Want to hear your opinion, whether you're with us or against us. We love to hear all opinions. That's how we form opinions, isn't it? We all talk to each other, and we get all the information we can, and then our brain just kind of sorts it out for us, and we decide where we're at on the issues. Going to go to Ernie on the cell phone right now. Ernie, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Guy?
Great.
Hey, I listen to your show every once in a while, and obviously we don't agree on things, but I do listen to your show, and I hear some people call. call it at times, and I read it from the right and from the left, and I don't like what either of them say at times. But on the these photographs that came out and things like that, and now, you know, everybody's naturally, because of the political year, they blame the president. And I don't think they should blame the president, and I don't think they were right. And I don't think they should have blamed Clinton for a lot of things that they said that he did, like aspirin factories being bombed. That's ridiculous, I think. I don't think Clinton for 1 minute or any president would go over and bomb something that they didn't think was a good target. But on this bit, you opened your show with about our image throughout the world, which is very important. And unfortunately, when there's war, I'm afraid this has always gone on during war, this type of thing. It's not that it's right. And I don't know why, but it seems to happen. And I wasn't there, so I can't really feel for either of these people. Or, like when Kerry came back from Vietnam, what he did in Vietnam and what he witnessed to when he came back. If you weren't there and walked in those person's shoes, you really can't get the whole picture. And I think the war crimes that he talked about were a lot worse back in Vietnam than these are, but I don't think they're right. And I just, you know, in the two-party system I hear we talk about, you know, the two-party system is the strongest thing, one of the strongest things this country has. And whether you're Republican or Democrat, you got to be thankful that the other one's there, or we wouldn't have a two-party system.
Exactly right. I've never been for eliminating the other side. We need it. We need two parties to keep each other honest. There's no question about that. I couldn't agree more. You know, as far as these crimes are concerned, I wasn't in Vietnam, but I know some people who were, and I know some people that saw rather hard times in Vietnam and in the heat of battle. And one of my good friends was a helicopter pilot, got shot down 3 times in Vietnam. And I've heard some pretty awful things.
And this thing that recently, this thing with, what was his name, Perlman, that reporter?
Yeah.
Those
yeah.
videos, I mean, that is, if you talk about atrocity,
sure.
those videos, I mean, that is terrible.
It's terrible, but... You know, I think we have to forget what other people do. We have to mind what we do, and we've always been above that thing, and we've tried to stay above it anyway. I'm not saying that Americans are...
It slips at times. It's Vietnam. I'm sure there was times in World War II this stuff happened, you know. And
oh, sure.
Is that right?
It happens.
It's not nice.
It's just our attitude about it that concerns me, and I think we have to maintain an attitude that keeps us above that, and it bothers me. It bothers me when people...
Not many people who on either side who condones what was done over there.
Well, I heard Limbaugh saying this week that it was all just a fraternity prank, and that bothers me when he says that.
I tell you what, the fraternity pranks are very similar, but they shouldn't be done either.
Well, now we find out there was rape and murder involved, and that's gone way beyond...
I haven't seen that yet, but that does make it worse.
Hey, Ernie, thanks for your call. I do appreciate it, and I thank you. I thank
right.
you for listening to the program. Going to go to Scotch in Punta Gorda. Scotch, welcome to the Guy James Show.
That's quite all right, Guy. You said you're going to have a good show, so I thought I'd call you to make sure it was.
There you go. I like that attitude.
You know what gets me is yesterday when I was watching, and I didn't watch at all, but I watched a little bit of the TV coverage on that, all they were worried about was our image. And I hear the same thing today on the radio. Nobody seems to give a darn about the victims over there.
Oh, well.
The soldiers had mothers, they had fathers, they had sisters and brothers. But I haven't heard anybody say anything about that. And another thing that gets me about
I'm not sure how you mean that, Scotch, those soldiers.
I'm talking about the soldiers of the Iraqi soldiers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
nobody has mentioned them. All it is our image has been hurt.
Well, and the other thing, nobody's. I think it goes without saying we have empathy for the people, or I wouldn't bring it up. What a lot of people don't understand is, according to Pentagon figures, our armed services' own figures, 60% of the people in that prison are in there for no reason. They're in there to be screened before they can be let out, and some of them been in there since the start of this war.
Oh, of course.
And that's, you know, that's a crime. That's a crime.
But, you know, really, if you ever, and I don't know how old you are. I know I must have a few years on you, but I used to drink a lot of beer with a lot of guys from the Second World War. And there were a lot of things in the Second World War that happened that we don't even talk about, they wouldn't talk about then, and... One of the things, for instance, I've talked with three prisoners of war. One was an Italian we captured, one was a German soldier we captured, and one was a guy from my hometown who was shot down in Germany and was held in one of their prisons for 2 years. How many of those guys were mistreated?
Well, I hope none of them.
Two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Italian and the German. Both of them got their teeth knocked out with a rifle butt.
Oh, boy.
Boom.
Yeah.
Now, the guy from my hometown spent 2 years over there. He said, toward the end of the war, the only thing I had to eat was raw potatoes, but that's all they had to eat.
Yeah.
Look what, you know, you talk about we always being above this. Look what we did to the Native Indians.
Sure.
I mean, my goodness, I don't think we were above it then. During the First World War, a guy from my hometown was killed because he had a German name. Nothing was done.
Wow.
A Union representative was castrated and hung in San Francisco. Nothing happened to the people. Kerry even said, your great boy Kerry, he committed war crimes in Vietnam. In Korea, I've talked with guys who said, hell, I didn't have anything to lose. I didn't know if I was going to live through two more days. If I found a woman, I raped her. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, this has been going on. And besides that, when we have a war like this, what is so humanitarian about dropping bombs on them?
Well, nothing. In this case,
what you should do, Guy, is read about Dresden and read about Nagasaki and Hiroshima. None of those had combatants in them. And we killed more people in Dresden than we did in Nagasaki or Hiroshima. And yet, your liberal president, Truman, was asked by Nimitz, by General LeMay, and by a couple of others, I can't think of their names off the top of my head, not to drop that bomb on the defeated people. And Truman said, well, I'm not going to kiss their rear end, and he did it anyway.
Well, there's controversy over which way that could go. It seems to me about half the people think that we would have suffered terrible losses going in there. Other people don't think it was right. I mean, you'll admit that controversy is still divided after all these years.
It shouldn't be divided because there's all kinds of proof that Japan wanted to surrender right after they was defeated at Midway. And also the fact that President Roosevelt's aide, Admiral Leahy, in his book, I Was There, said that they never even discussed going into Japan because they knew when Japan was defeated on the seas, they were defeated.
Yeah.
And Japan even asked for unconditional surrender, and the doggone thing was put, in mothballs until after we had destroyed Tokyo. And we had destroyed a couple of other places over there, which was more devastating, really, than Nagasaki or Hiroshima, and we did it with firebombs.
Yeah.
But
hey,
I guess we did it with love.
Well, we hope we learn from our mistakes. John, got to go. We've got a board full of people, and I thank you for your call. Thank you for listening to the program as well. Going to go to Nicholas in Naples right now. Nicholas, welcome to the program.
Hey, good evening. How are you today?
Good.
I just wanted to let you know I'm one of your raspy Republicans, and I picked up your station. I'm new to Naples, and I started listening. They always like to get what the other side's saying. I just wanted to throw one thing out. You were saying how, in your view, the Republicans never do anything for the family, and I wanted to point out that they are. There were some tax breaks that were passed the last couple of years, and I know I received mine, and a lot of other people in the country, regardless of affiliation, received their tax breaks, and it seemed to have done a pretty good job on the economy. As far as I see, I think there's many different ways we can look at who's in power and what they're doing, but to make a blanket statement like that, I think, is a little disingenuous.
Well, I don't think it is. Who came up with the minimum wage and has passed it every time that it's been increased? And who's fought against it?
Well, you know what? I don't think the minimum wage is such a great idea.
Well, now let me ask you a question. Who's fought against it every time an increase? The Republicans have. 67%, according to our government figures, 67% of the folks on minimum wage are family people. They're not kids working at the movies on the weekend. That's a family issue, and the Republicans have fought tooth and nail against it all the time. Universal health care.
There again, you see, you're talking about an issue. If you think universal health care is the answer to the problems, let's look at a couple of countries. I lived in Europe for 10 years. I've had socialized medicine up the wazoo, and wherever it's tried, yes, everybody gets it, but then again, you got to wait for a year and a half to get some surgeries. There's a lot of things. If you look at the plan, and here's a great example. You talk about socialized medicine. Who was it who had a board to review the socialized medicine options? corruption in the United States, but wouldn't tell anybody who was on the board. And when it finally came out who it was found there wasn't a single person from any of the insurance companies. It was Hillary Clinton. So, you know, be careful we talk about socialized medicine in this country because we don't have a very good history of it.
Well, we don't have any of it. And I, believe me, I know many, many, many Canadians. Many Canadians. And I know a good share of English people as well. I don't hear them complain. When they're down here visiting and the season's over, they rush back to get home because they don't want to miss out on their medical benefits.
And you go to upstate New York and you find out how many doctors are doing medical procedures for Canadians because they want to get it done now and not in 8 and 10 months. You know, it's a balance. It's not perfect, but I would sure as heck rather have the opportunity to make my choice rather than have Hillary make that choice for me.
Well, I've said it once, and I'll say it again. You brought up Hillary. I'll say it once, and I'll say it again, and I mean it. The Republican Party has not shown me jack about what they've done for family values. They have not. They fight against you take this No Child Left Behind thing. Rah, rah, rah. We're going to pass that. Forget. We're not going to fund it, though. Forget that. And I know you states don't have enough money to pass it. So, hey, that's tough. That's pretty much what he told the folks when he went in the office after it was signed.
Well, let's look at this. Let's take one point here, for example. Let's say that you want to talk about putting real money back into the pockets of the families. Do you think it makes sense to follow Kerry's lead where he wants to 86 the tax breaks that we have on the books? And if we were to add up all the money he's planning on spending, the only way he's going to be able to get that is to raise your taxes. So if he raises your taxes and takes money out of your pocket, can you tell me how that helps the average
You're not seriously wanting to get into a discussion about Kerry raising taxes and taking money away from the government with a $500 billion deficit staring us in the face from a Republican administration, are you? You don't seriously...
If that's interesting you bring that up. Let's bring up, if you want to talk about deficits, let's do it the correct way.
No, we did it the correct way. It's over $500 billion. We're going to go one further thing about the family values thing. We had this health care plan that came up, this prescription medicine plan came up. Who lied to the public about it and didn't tell them how much it was going to cost when they knew how much it was going to cost, and they threatened the guy with being fired if he did tell it? Who did that?
Oh, I'm not going to buy you on that one because that's a good point. I'll give you that one.
That is a good point. Hey, I've got a board for our callers. I've got to go. We're going to talk for days about this, but you failed to point me one thing that the Republicans have done.
You won't let me back in. Let me get one point and I'm done.
How much time do you think you get on this show?
Well, give me 30 seconds and I'm out of here.
All right, go.
Okay, you take the $500 billion you're talking about in our deficit, match that against how much money we brought in, and give me a percentage, and you're going to find that the percentage that we're carrying as a percent of our total debt is a heck of a lot less than what Bill Clinton was carrying during his years. As long as we keep growing the economy, the $500 billion number is specious. You have to go with what is that as a percentage of our GNP, and you're going to find it's in line, if not lower, than what everybody else has been carrying. Ba-boom.
I don't know where you got your numbers, but you're all wet on that. It is not percentage-wise higher than lower than it was during the Bill Clinton administration. Not even close. Where did that come from, Biz? Oh, got a noise there. Let's see here. Who are we going to go to? I think he needs to double check his figures on that. The percentage of the deficit is not. What's going on here with my headphones? Okay, I know who's next. We're going to go to John in Cape Coral.
Well, I guess I don't know how I follow that, sir.
I didn't get any answer about family values.
No, and I called for another topic, so I may talk about that next week. But I'm concerned about this whole prisoner and the war situation. I was wondering if I might address that.
Sure.
Question, you know, I've heard so many people and some people trying to justify the issue with the prisoners or detainees or whatever you choose to call them.
It's just a prank.
My question, if the situation were reversed, and the Iraqis did this to the American citizens, what would our reaction be?
you full well know, John, what the advantage, what it would be.
Well, I think that's the way you have to look at it. How would we feel if we were the victims?
Well, I think they've lit a powder keg. already over there. The people aren't taking kindly to this whole thing. It's a terrible mess, and more Americans are going to die on account of it. I fear for prisoners in the future that are taken.
All right, then that brings me to my next point, and I hope you can answer this because there's something I don't understand. To win the situation in Iraq, there are two ways of winning it. One is militarily, and two is to win the hearts and minds of the Iraqis, which was the idea in the beginning. They were going to fall in love with George W. Bush, who was going to be the liberator. If we're abusing their people, how do we win their hearts and minds? What is their reaction after a situation like this? And two, how do we beat them militarily? Is it by bombing them into the Stone Age? Can we do it with the resources we have? And if we can't win militarily and we can't win the hearts and minds, how do we get out of this situation? How do we win this situation?
Well, we've lost the hearts and minds argument. That one's done. That one's cooked, over with, finished. We're not ever going to win their hearts and minds. Militarily.
Then my question is, how do you win this militarily when, you know, you're into the streets and the people obviously are supporting the insurgents, and with the situation with the prisoners, certainly if they're going to be continually more supporting it.
John, I think at this point we can't win this. I think we're losers on this. I do.
Then where do we go from here?
I'd like to see a gradual withdrawal. I'd like to see the UN get involved. I think we're going to have to get other people involved. We're certainly not going to settle this. Who's going to trust us from now on? We need other people involved. Of course, we said that to start out with, didn't we? Many of us said that to start out with.
I think I said that in the beginning, too, and I said this on talk radio when the other station permitted me to do it and didn't only want right-wing callers. So my question is, we're putting $25 billion more into this, with your preceding caller talking about economics. $25 billion more is going in. We're putting more troops into this. How many more people have to die? How much more money do we have to spend on something you and I seem to agree that we can't win? Or is my call out of line?
Not a bit. I agree completely. The sad thing is $25 billion is just another down payment on another huge amount. They're just buying time till the first of the year for this $25 bill.
I mean, I think somebody has to look at this very seriously. If you can't win militarily and you can't win the hearts and minds and democratize this country of Iraq, what are we going to do, and how long do we continue with this quagmire and is Bush delivering on his promises? And that's the purpose of my call.
I think they're just trying to hang on till November. I think they're somehow trying to manage to survive the election, and then they're going to figure out what to do. I don't think they've got a clue, John. I really don't.
Well, why after November? What's going to be the answer there?
They don't care then. They're going to have four more years in office then. They're going to have four more years to rape and pillage the treasury of the United States and to get some of their insane policies in effect. And that's the game. That's what I believe the game is. John, I got to run.
Okay.
Thank you.
I ask you one quick question.
Yes.
Where's the morality? Thank you for your time, sir.
I don't talk about morality in the Bush administration in the same sentence. We've got Bob in Cape Book Coral. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hey, guy. How you doing today?
Good.
I'm enjoying listening to you. I just called because I got up in arms over that the Republican caller that called you a few minutes ago. I was just amazed at what he was saying. You know, I can talk to him about his family tax cut. That's gone in my gas tank, guy that wanted all the rebate.
$1.91 today.
Exactly. That's where it's gone. And so he can talk about his family values all he wants, but I don't see it anywhere. I get an operation for my son, and my bills for the surgery, $10,000. I mean, come on. When you were talking about the socialized medicine, I mean, that's what we need. We need universal health care. So the surgery could have been delayed a little longer if we had health care.
And did you see this week? You know, they passed out they started in on these prescription medicine cards, and people are starting to find out now the truth of what we said all along, that you could buy medicine cheaper on the internet, that you could buy through these phony cards they passed out. It was all bogus.
Yeah, exactly. with CVS, though. Even CVS now has come out for the buying the drugs in Canada. And they're fighting it that tooth and nail, the Republicans,
sure,
fighting that to save the people a little bit of money because they want the drug companies to make the profit.
Well, they can send all of our jobs overseas, but we can't go buy any medicine next door.
Exactly. And one other thing that he was talking about, too, how could we pay for Kerry's programs? I had a good idea. If Kerry comes up with a plan to get us out of Iraq, they're right there alone from the savings from the war would pay more than pay for his programs that he wants to have.
Couldn't agree more.
All right, guys. Well,
hey,
thank you.
Bob, thanks for your call. Appreciate it very much. Going to ask Bill and Terry and Al to hang on. They'll be with us after the top of the hour. If I took your call right now, you would get shortchanged. And we always want to give everybody a chance to say pretty much what they want to on the program. So much to talk about coming into today. I didn't know where to start. I want to talk about John Kerry. I want some of you folks to hang on because we're going to talk about John Kerry and the campaign so far, and I'll just give you a hint right up front. I'm not happy. And I want to talk to the Kerry people, and I want to tell them, damn it, I'm not happy with what they're doing. So they're going to get their Guy James advice after the top of the hour. You're listening to 1200 AM WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida, and we're going to be back right after the news. Stay tuned.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show. Coming up on the top of the hour.
This is the year, and now is the time. The time to start thinking about tomorrow. The time to start thinking about joining the Collier County Democratic Club. This has been a paid political advertisement, approved and paid for by the Collier County Democratic Club, Bill McMahon, Treasurer.
On the Guy James Show. Man, we've got a lot to talk about the rest of the day. I've got so much to talk about, I'm just ready to bust today. Hey, I don't want to take advantage of somebody after they're off the air, and I invite the caller that called about the Republican family values to certainly call in again next week. We only take one call a week from every caller, but I'll give him a chance to respond to that. But this Republican family value thing, they don't ever back it up. It's always nice for them to get out there and say, oh, gee, we're for this and we're for that. And, it's just like the schools right now. The schools are all broke. They're all broke. I feel, Bush cut taxes, and some people, mostly the wealthy, got the tax cuts. So there's not enough government money to go around to schools. I pity the school administrators. They're having to stretch money like they never had to stretch it, laying people off, important people, services, all that that go along with public education is dying. It's underfunded. There's a lot of ways here that the family values by the Republicans is hurting. And, it pains me when they stand up and say, well, we give a tax cut. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, you robbed Peter and paid Paul. That's what you did. We're going to go to Bill. Been waiting an eternity. Bill, welcome. And Bill, let me quickly give the phone number. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Call us. You're on, Bill.
Okay. I want to compliment the conservative for calling in, because we've got to hear from both sides, but don't just call in with the pablum from the country club. You've got to do your homework, and I know that gentleman's going to do his homework, and he's going to come back at you next week.
Sure, that's what it's about.
Is he the only one out there that has any nerve, any guts?
Well, there's a lot of things you can't defend.
Oh, he was so happy about that tax cut. I tell you, any time that there's any kind of government deal moving, the upper middle class and the wealthy want theirs in cash up front, and
you
that's
betcha.
What they want, and they'll ask for it every time. And that's what they got. Now they're happy, and everybody else is trying to divide up a little pie that's just not going to make it.
Not much pie left.
But please, and I'm not being facetious, you conservatives, be like Guy James. Get out there and go against the flow for once in your life and call in here.
Yeah, we'd like it. We'd like it when you call.
When I first started listening to you, I thought you were like that old Spaniard Don Quixote charging those windmills, but I'm eating my words now. I think we actually have a chance in November. It's not going to be a cakewalk, but we have a chance now. I really believe it.
I do too, I've got some problems with how things are going, and I'm going to talk about that a little later.
I know he wasn't your first choice, but he's our nominee, and we're gonna support him.
That's right, and we're behind our candidate, and we're gonna stick with him and see this through. But they need to make some changes. And of course, I'm sure the ideas from this show will go straight to the Kerry campaign, and they'll make the necessary changes.
I'm sure they're
going to
listen to them. you and John from Cape Coral had some very good things to say about the stories about that torturing going on, and I can't top it. But I want to add one other thing that I heard one of the talking heads say. It was a lady. She said that really the only thing left to justify us even being in Iraq was that it was going to be a new day and there weren't going to be any tortures like Saddam, and now we don't even have that anymore. First we said that he was tied into 9/11, and the president himself said that's not true. And then we were told that they had an ability to strike the United States with weapons. That's not true. The only thing we had left was torture. And now, thanks to the way things are being run, we don't even have that anymore. And it's going to hurt us for at least 50 years over there.
Paul, you know, I heard the saddest comment by an Iraqi father, a father of three, and his wife had been killed. He said, "I'd rather have the hell of Saddam than the heaven of George Bush."
Oh, boy. And if anybody doesn't believe that Rush Limbaugh is still on drugs, now, he's a smart man, but you have to be taking pills. He actually said on his show that that the lower-level people are accused of breaking the Geneva Convention. And he said, well, Bill Clinton did things himself. And I would like, you know, here's the trap he just stepped into. I've never read the rules of the Geneva Convention. Do you think there's anything in there about a world leader having a mistress? You think anybody on the face of the earth cares about that?
Well, if Russia, that's got to be there. Russia.
And I'm telling you and the listeners, all the thing about the blue dress and all that shenanigans, compared to even one of our soldiers being wounded, much less killed. And please don't bring up anything like that in the face of what we're into now.
Well, as I like to say, we're... Well, I won't say it, but I agree with you.
On this Michael Moore being pushed off the air, this is just a pattern of the freedom of speech being destroyed in this country. And you conservatives, you think it's funny that us liberals can't have our free speech, but I got news. You can't hurt freedom of speech in a vacuum. It's going to hurt everybody, and it's hurting the liberals now, but it's going to come around and bite everybody in the rear end, because once you hurt freedom of speech, you've heard it for everyone.
That's right. That's right. That's right there at the top of our liberties. And
the biggest whopper of the week goes to our own Governor Jeb Bush, because Michael Moore made the accusation that Disney was afraid of losing their tax breaks in Florida. So they were going to make sure that no movie came out criticizing the administration. And our governor said, and thank God for the guy show, James Show, because this is the only outlet I have to report this. The governor said he wasn't aware of any special tax break for Disney in Florida. And please be aware Walt Disney in Florida has never paid a penny in impact fees since day one back in the 1970s. All their competitors pay it. All you rich Republicans that have resorts and motels and supermarkets and department stores, you pay it. Disney doesn't pay it. Why is that? Because they get a special little break. And if our governor's not aware of that, we got a big problem, guy.
Oh, man, and they got their own kingdom there, the Magic Kingdom, if you will. And the magic about it is they got like 40,000 acres, and they don't pay any impact fees. Wow.
And the Vatican and Disney answer to God, no one else.
Yeah, exactly. And in Florida, Disney is God, that's for sure.
Well, thank heavens you're out there, guy, and I'll be listening. Take care.
Thank you, Bill. Good to hear from you. Gone to switch over to, we got the New York Bureau checking in. We got Jeff in New York. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
God, there's so much stuff today, ain't there?
Yes, there is.
An earlier caller was trying to suggest that there's no way to make these abuses, you know, land on Bush's doorstep. And I really want to sort of make a few points to set that straight.
Speak up if you can a little, Jeff.
I'll do my best.
Thank you.
The story they can't get the pictures back hidden, but the story they really want to hide is privatization, war profiting. The reason this happened is you have completely untrained soldiers being supervised by government contractors. That means people making money off this war.
Absolutely.
And that is the story that Bush most desperately wants to keep hidden, even though he can't cram these pictures back away. You probably watched the hearings. You heard the word few, bad apples, bad apples, bad apples. The really bad apples are the people that are making money off being interrogators and interpreters and mercenaries. That's the scandal behind this story. no matter how gross these pictures are, the grossness goes right back to Bush's front door, being unprepared for this war and turning it into, hey, make some money off mayhem.
Bingo. You've hit it, man. You've hit it once again. I mean, there you go. There's 20,000 of them there in Iraq. And believe me, from what I've read, there are some serious bad apples in the group, and they're virtually accountable to no one.
And it's bad apples supervising kids. And do you understand that some of the, that what's going on amongst the rank and file, amongst these, you know, soldiers and reservists and guard units, do you know who the government pipes into them all day long?
Yes.
Rush Limbaugh.
Unbelievable.
Their barracks, they have pictures of Glorious George in his flight suit, and they actually believe they are doing something that is retribution for 9/11.
Absolutely.
Because of that propaganda. So excuse me, look, no one can excuse the behavior of these soldiers, but if you don't think that they are being manipulated from the top, you're missing the most important part of this story.
Excellent point.
And by the way, I've heard that Bush has a new campaign slogan.
Oh, this has got to be good.
Vote Bush. Not quite as bad as Saddam. As far as we know.
One caveat after the other. Excellent point. Excellent
it's
point.
It's a hard day for laughs, but I had to try.
Yeah, it's hard to get a laugh out of this. Yeah, I got a little joke I'm going to tell about Bush a little later. I'm notorious for telling bad jokes, but this one's pretty good. Hey, Jeff, thanks so much for calling. Hey, before you go, how's things going with the review?
They're going wonderfully. I lost an actor. I got a new actor back. Things are going swimmingly. Actually, my writing partner called me last night and says, shouldn't we put this in the show? Meaning the abuses. I said, Brooks, you know, I can make a lot of things sing, but not this.
Yeah. Yeah, rape. You know what? What do you do? You know, come up with a song. Thanks for the sodomy. Da 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 da. You know, I don't know.
I don't know. It's, you know, like I said, it's
a mess.
It just keeps getting. If you can't imagine it getting worse, and it gets worse. And even this story hasn't gotten as bad as it's going to get.
Nope.
Like, it's going to take us. We're not going to live long enough for this country to live down.
No, you and I won't. That's for sure. I'm hoping my grandchildren can get out from under someday.
And my nieces and nephews.
Jeff, thanks so much for your call.
You're welcome.
Good to hear from you, my friend.
Donate. Bye.
Yes. Hey, we're going to go to Glenn in Fort Myers. Glenn, welcome to the program.
Thanks, guy. This is I'm a listener, but this is the first time caller, so if I get nervous there, I might stutter a little bit.
Nothing to be nervous about. We'll treat you gentle.
Just what I really want to talk about is, you know, with all these pictures and everything going on in Iraq and everything, I listen to the radio all the time. I try to get a good view from the liberal side, NPR. I try to get the Fox side. I get LaRusha's side and everything. And, man, I tell you, I'm just tired of everybody. They go from every excuse, from the blue dress with Clinton to Bush and the Saudi oil and everything. What happened in that prison with those soldiers, trained, untrained, or not, is dead, just dead wrong. And there's no excuse that can be made by anybody defending them in any form. I watched the hearing yesterday with Rumsfeld and the generals, and they all looked confused to me. I don't think they had a plan. I wasn't for going in there to begin with, but I've always backed my president. I'm an ex-Vietnam vet, and I'm backing my president, and we got to solve it. But this Democrat, Republican, back and forth is not going to solve it. Now, one other thing about the pictures that I want to say, I don't care if somebody gets up there and says that the show soldiers weren't trained. You don't need to be trained to know not to put a leash on somebody and lay them on the floor and kick them.
That's kind of when you're born, you got enough training for that,
I mean,
don't you?
I mean, you may have, when you were in kindergarten, your mother slapped your hand when you did something wrong and said no, and you should have picked it up.
Absolutely.
But I don't believe. I watched that testimony yesterday, and as much as I backed the Defense Department and the President to get out of this mess, I stood there and watched Rumsfeld pointing at his watch that he's got to go. He doesn't have enough time to spend on this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is, and to let
and for him to, it may have came out in January, but nobody did nothing about it. There's a priority to these things.
Well,
in the hearts and the minds of the Iraqis, and nobody set the priority. Nobody said, hey, this is big. One general said this is big, and everybody let it go.
I was shocked that when Myers and Rumsfeld both said they hadn't read that report that had been out for a while. I couldn't believe it. Just couldn't believe it.
He said he read the 75-page the executive summary. Now, nobody expects him to read the 300 to 8,000-page report, but he read it. But I'm certainly sure he's got somebody in his staff that can summarize it for him.
That's how they do it.
And this is ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, look, we can't set ourselves up as the good guys, and we are the good guys. Remember that first war? Remember the first war when that sergeant, I think it was a sergeant, a soldier was in Iraq, he was coming out of the ground after the bombardments, and he's saying, no, you're all right, you're all right. Remember how compassionate that soldier was?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And most of our soldiers are that way, and now we got to live down for a few individuals that got over there and
injured. Absolutely.
Stuff.
Well, it's a mess that has to be cleaned up.
Look, at everybody. There's people in every war that had their little bounty hunter picture, you know, and may have been with a body. I mean, I'm not saying everybody, but some people did it. It's not the right thing to do, and we got to grow above that. But I'm really, really, I'm so disgusted about the fact that we're going to use this for political. Hey, we got to get out of this mess. We got to get out of this.
We got to do this for America.
And for America. That's
thank,
right.
Thank you, Glenn. Great right. to hear from you, and we're awfully glad to have you as a listener of our program. You know, I got to talk about the political situation for a minute. You know, I know a lot of you will remember last year I told all of you I expect this political campaign to be the dirtiest ever. I remember saying that no matter which Democrat got the nomination, he or she could expect to be absolutely vilified by the Republican attack machine and by the heavily dominated right-wing media. But I've got to confess something to you. I never dreamed the right-wingers would stoop so low as they have concerning John Kerry's war record. I have to admit that I'm shocked by the nerve they've shown while desecrating Kerry's, well, what else can you call it? But it's an exemplary, very honorable record. In the history of American politics that I've studied back and can't find anything more despicable on an honorable man than this. Well, on second thought, maybe that's not quite true. Their attack on John McCain during the primary of 2000 was just about as bad, where they accused him of being crazy for being in the POW camp. Or how about their attack on Max Cleland? Now, I nearly forgot about that, and I shouldn't. That one probably was the worst. But at any rate, these guys have shown an ability to distort and lie about Kerry's record that's absolutely alarming. And it makes me wonder if there's anything they won't say or do to maintain their hold on our government. I guess they're emboldened by the fact that they got away with it against McCain, and they also won their battle against Max Cleland by doing the same thing. You know how that goes. They found out if they lie big enough and often enough, they can destroy even the most honorable man's record. Lie big and lie often. The latest barrage against Kerry absolutely sickens me. Now, here's a man with three Purple Hearts, a Bronze Star, a Silver Star, and they question his military record. At first, I thought they were just testing the waters on the issue, and they'd slink back into their rat holes when they found out it didn't work. But I found out that the political base of the right wing loves it. Hannity and Limbaugh and this Glenn Beck and O'Reilly and these people—they love this. They revel in attacking him on his military record. They eat it up like manna from heaven. All the right wing talkers, the right wing pundits, and the hardcore conservative Republicans all over the country are proud of what they're doing to Kerry. They're proud of it. You know what? A bunch of liars and hypocrites. They say support our troops as if those on the left don't. Support our troops, and then they smear John Kerry's great war record. Now, how the hell do you reconcile that? What a bunch of two-faced rats. Well, no, that would be insulting to the rats, actually. These people that do this are lower than dirt. And imagine, and you know, it comes straight out of the White House. Karl Rove, imagine insinuating that Kerry didn't earn his medals. They've questioned all of them. They've inferred that Kerry just went to Vietnam to pad his record so he could run for office. If that were the case, and if that were possible, then why didn't George W. Bush and Dick Cheney realize that the Vietnam War was their ticket to power? Why didn't G.W. Bush and Cheney sign up for Vietnam duty? I'm not saying people had to. I know a lot of people didn't. I know a lot of people that got as put as much distance between themselves and the Vietnam War as they possibly could. But here's a couple of war hawks putting down a genuine war hero. Why didn't they join up? You know, they act like all you had to do is go over there, get shot three times, get a bronze star, and save a couple of guys from enemy fire, and shazam, you could come home and be a hero and be the president. Of course, Junior Bush and Cheney found out that they could grab power without doing the messy war stuff. They've got this John O'Neill character going all over the nation, proclaiming John Kerry, and I quote, is not fit for the office of president. O'Neill says he was on Kerry's boat. Now, all of you think this dirty rat, and that's what he is. John McCain even says he's the most despicable man he's ever known. All of you that put credence in what this man says, pay attention to what I'm going to tell you right now. This John O'Neill, ahead of this Veterans Against Kerry group, he said he was on Kerry's boat. What does that make you think? Makes you think he was on Kerry's boat with Kerry, right? And he personally saw what was going on? Well, forget that. He wasn't on Kerry's boat until 2 months after Kerry left. That's how he was on Kerry's boat. And he says he has no political agenda, never mind that he was recruited by Richard Nixon's White House to smear Kerry back in the early 70s. Never mind that O'Neill was a clerk for the Republican member of the Supreme Court. Never mind that he works in a Texas law firm that represented Junior Bush when he was the governor. Never mind any of that. They want you to believe that he's just good old Joe Citizen doing his duty. None of that passes the smell test, and if you're gullible enough to swallow it, you don't have the sense you were born with. No political agenda, indeed. You know, to be sure, some of Kerry's statements about the Vietnam War atrocities were startling. And to be absolutely sure, some of the terrible things he said happened really did happen. Why try and hide it? Bad things happen in war. People do things they ordinarily wouldn't do. That's just a fact. I have two friends that were there. They've told me some terrible things that happened that they're ashamed of now. Kerry wasn't blowing smoke. Bad things did happen. He certainly didn't disparage those who didn't commit such acts. You know, his activism, it helped end a terrible war that was a black mark on the United States of America. How many more lives would have been lost if activists hadn't worked to end that war in Vietnam? I don't care how you cut it. The anti-war activists saved lives because if that war had been drawn out longer, many more of our soldiers would have been sacrificed for what? For nothing. Nothing. That's what we got out of Vietnam. That's all we ever would have got out of Vietnam. So just what is it that has suddenly caused the right-wingers to declare that the Vietnam War was honorable and we should have stayed and seen it through? Where were all these people back then? Where was Bush and Cheney and Wolfowitz and Karl Rove and most of the Bush appointees during Vietnam if it was such an honorable war? And yet they try and detract from the record of a man who volunteered to go and fight in their places. How low can you go? How utterly despicable can human beings be? The people doing this to Senator John Kerry are absolutely the lowest of the low, and they are not fit to serve in our government. Hell, I'll just say it. Why not? I believe it, so why not say it? By disparaging the heroic, honorable war record of Senator Kerry, these people aren't fit to be citizens of this country. If you can't honor a man with three purple hearts, a bronze star, and a silver star, then who the hell can you honor? Honor the troops indeed. Support the troops indeed. The Republicans showed how much they honor a great veteran. Smear him. Smear him. Constantly smear him. Get their attack machine to smear him. It makes me sick. How many of you are familiar with this Glenn Beck character, the new right-wing radio guy that's on the scene? He's here on here locally. This guy is a nut. That's all you can say. He's totally out of his freaking mind. He put forth I was driving across Alligator Alley the other day. I believe it was Tuesday, and his program was on, and I was listening. He put forth a scenario that literally just blew me away. I thought, my God, I can't believe that a guy would sit here and say, sit there and say what he's saying right now. But this Glenn Beck, this nut, just to let you know how far these guys will go to keep their guy in office, I heard Glenn Beck on Tuesday tell us how this Iraq war, get this, the Iraq war was all John Kerry's fault. He actually said it was Kerry's fault. And here's how he explained it. Since Kerry protested against the Vietnam War after having been there and experiencing the sting of battle when Beck was all of 2 or 3 years old, by the way, by protesting the war, Kerry made America, according to Beck, afraid of going to war after that. Unquote. So along comes the Iran-Iraq War, which Beck says, notice how this right-winger rewrote history, rewrote it. Beck says it was not a war Iraq should have fought. Instead, it was a war the United States should have fought against Iran. So Beck reasons that that since America was afraid to go to war in Iran because of the Vietnam experience, we build up an armed Saddam Hussein and thus caused the problem we're having over there now. That's how this nut explained that John Kerry is responsible for this whole mess. Can you believe that? And people, to my literal astonishment, people called into his show and agreed with him. God, I'm glad most of my listeners are smart and well-informed. If I knew for a minute that most of my audience was as stupid and just plain ignorant as most of Beck's and Limbaugh's and Hannity's and some others, I'd quit this right now. Because who would want to broadcast a message to a bunch of pure idiots? Hell, I've owned some farm animals that were smarter than most people in those guys' audience, and that's a fact. This war was John Kerry's fault. God, give me a break. Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. Is that okay with you, Biz? Yeah, it's okay. I got to get permission, you know. Biz is tough on me. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show. You can call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. We'll be glad to take your calls. Got a couple lines open. And we'll be right back with more of the Guy James Show.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Two 200 years ago, Lewis and Clark discovered the West. That is, if you don't count the millions of American Indians who discovered it first. Because in 1804, Lewis and Clark left one civilization only to encounter dozens of others. Rich, diverse cultures like the Lemhi Shoshone, Clatsops, and Mandan Hadatsis. Cultures that had thrived on the Great Plains and Pacific Coast for thousands of years and despite everything are still here today. The Indians Lewis and Clark met could have ended their expedition many times, but saved it instead. Many times. With their food, horses, and compassion. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover. Because their trail winds through us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
Good afternoon, Guy James fans. Enjoying the show? Hey, we're glad to hear that. Here's an example of one of our future shows. Yes, you heard right. That could be the sound you hear or don't hear from the Guy James Show soon. Here, let's listen in one more time. The Guy James Show is America's most powerful weapon to counter the poisonous assault coming from the right. The Guy James Show is America's only commercial-free democratic talk radio show. But without the support of loyal listeners like you, this important national voice could be lost. Instead of this,
there's never been a president of the United States who deserved to be impeached more than George W. Bush. Day after day, I think I'm in some sort of a dream when I think about all the incredible lies and downright treasonable acts that this guy and his minions have gotten away with. Over and over and over again, he still sits in the Oval Office. You know, it's amazing, it's incredible, it's unbelievable. You know, there's no word strong enough to describe the contempt I feel for these people.
We could hear this. The Guy James Show, based in fact, produced with pride and delivered with passion. Fellow Democrats, this show is entirely supported by loyal listeners just like you and me. The need is critical, and the time is now. Log on to our website at www.theguyjamesshow.com and show your support. That's www.theguyjamesshow.com, where all that's left is the truth. Nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Oh, we're back. I tell you, I'm so frustrated I don't know what to do. I need till about midnight to get everything off my chest that I've got on there today. It's terribly frustrating. I know. You hear me say that every week, but God, there's so much, well, let me just say it, plain crap going on that there's just too much to talk about. You know, when stop and think about it for a minute. Have you ever seen anything like this group in power today? I mean, you know, I alluded to it earlier. The White House proclaims now that Bush is sorry. You know, at first Bush refused to apologize for our actions regarding those war crimes, and then his mouthpiece, Scott McClellan, comes out and says that Bush, he meant to apologize. And then we have Bush himself coming out in front of the cameras with Abdullah and telling us how he apologized to Abdullah. He never actually said it in front of anyone. He just can't bring himself to take responsibility, can he? I mean, remember that personal responsibility? This little man, and by little, I don't mean small in stature. He is a very small man. Yeah, he's just too damn stubborn and arrogant to actually do a real apology. He's nothing more than an empty suit. You know, to a lot of people, he's become a cartoon character who really isn't funny. What troubles me is that nearly half the people in the country think he's a good moral leader. A moral leader, this guy. Give me a break. Wile E. Coyote has more ethics than this guy. Come on, people. You're scaring me when you talk about that, about Bush, that he's a good moral leader. I'd feel better if you just admit the truth and tell us you agree that Bush is a buffoon and morally bankrupt. But I know you don't want to admit that because you've been wrong about him. I understand about not wanting to be a loser, but come on. How much longer can you ride this Bush train into hell? Really, how can you? How much longer before you suck it up and admit that this guy and his gang are a bunch of total losers? Losers. Immoral losers. Arrogant, immoral, condescending, totally foolish losers. How long will you stand for a nation to be dragged through the mud by this bunch of losers? Look what's happening right in front of your eyes. Can you not see it? Do you not understand? Can you not grasp what is happening to our country with these people in power? Has anything good come from this administration? Anything? The answer is no. They have done nothing good. They're presiding over the ruination of our country, and some of you still think these guys are great. What the hell is wrong with you? You have to know that if we had a Congress not so divided by hardline partisanship, this would guy be on the outside looking in after being impeached. He's done many things that deserve impeachment. How much longer do you hang on to this notion that the Bush administration has anything good to offer this nation? Can you not see the death and destruction and humiliation we've suffered under the leadership of these guys? And I say leadership, oh, so loosely. My God, leadership. We're going to go to Eleanor in Virginia. Eleanor, welcome to the program.
Yeah. You're ranting and raving, and I love it.
Well, I'm upset today.
I don't blame you. Who is? Well, all the sane people are upset.
Yeah.
Wanted to tell you a little bit of good news. This Tuesday, in this city, 40 miles from Jerry Falwell, we elected a mayor and 3 city council members of the Democratic Party. A clean sweep.
All right.
I don't know.
Now I'm taking a
I'm not working my fanny off, but
I'm taking a guess here. I'm going to take a guess here and guess that this is the Eleanor that I affectionately know as Eleanor Roosevelt.
That is the very one.
Oh, Eleanor, it's good to talk to you.
I'm still standing and raising hell as far as I can.
a wonderful Southern lady, as you can tell, and she, absolutely delightful. I, you know, that's good news.
Well, I'm for one thing, I have never before lived under the influence of a newspaper that was to the left of Attila the Hun. And, and the newspaper here is run by a bunch of Democrats. It makes a difference, you know, unlike Naples where you can't even get in a notice of a meeting.
No. Oh, my. A Democratic newspaper.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, it's marvelous. I mean, the editorials just make you feel like you're coming in from a cold day next to a fire. But let me tell you a little happening that's going on right now. Carl Rove is in Lynchburg, Virginia, 40 miles away at Liberty University, delivering the graduation address to graduating class of Jerry Falwell's Education Emporium.
Liberty Baptist University.
No, it's Liberty University.
Liberty
Thomas
University.
Rove Baptist Church. It's
okay.
Church. The teenagers over there call it Jerry's Jolly Jerusalem.
I've never heard that before. That's good.
Yeah, they've called it that ever since he's been about 5 or 6 years in business. But a group from here, from Roanoke, I couldn't go because I can't stand up very long. But they've gone to welcome Mr. Rove. They can't get inside, I don't think, but they're going to stand along the road into the university, you know, telling him where to go. Home, of course.
My,
maybe
oh
other
my
places.
My, oh, my. Carl Rove.
Yeah. Listen, one time they had the president there 1 year. It might have been the other Bush. Anyway.
Well, we know it wasn't Bill Clinton, that's for sure.
You're damn right.
Yeah.
Bill wouldn't have more sense than that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm real proud of your success, and you're talking exactly like I talk. And I wish you well.
Well, Eleanor, thank you so much.
And if there's anything I can do for you up here in the Blue Ridge Mountains, let me know.
It's such a pleasure to hear from you. It really is.
I'm glad. Let me tell you one other thing.
Yes.
I got a picture on my computer yesterday of George Bush and the Pope. It was when he went to visit the Pope, okay?
Yeah.
The Pope, poor fellow, is sitting, holding it rested with his chin rested in his hand on one side of a table. George W. is sitting on the other hand with his crib sheet in his hand. He can't even talk to anybody without knowing what he's supposed to tell them. I don't think he's president. I really don't.
Would you want him to?
Hell no.
No.
You know, we're better off. You know, if he was smart, he'd be more dangerous than he is.
Yeah. Hey, Eleanor.
People around him are dangerous.
Thank you so much for calling the program.
I'm glad I got you.
Thanks for being a loyal Democrat and a loyal listener.
I'm going to keep it up.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
An absolute delightful lady, and I can tell you what, the Democrats in Collier County miss Eleanor. She's you can tell by that wonderful Southern lady voice, the Southern belle. She's quite a nice lady. I happen to know her. Someone just put across my screen here, Biz, did you do this? She said, if you impeach Bush, would Cheney be any better? Well, now that's a frightening. I hadn't thought of that.
Because you got to think, who's going to take over if you impeach him? And I mean, in the natural chain of command, it would be Cheney. Some say he's already running the show, but I mean, would you really want somebody as shady as him up there?
No, I don't think so. I don't think we better do that.
So I think now it's just the lesser of two evils. Because no matter what we do, we're going to get screwed.
That's why. Well, that reminds me. I'm gonna go ahead and tell him a joke right now.
Okay, you go for it.
Yeah, I got to tell him a joke. I hope everybody forgive me. You know how I murder these jokes. But anyway, this ventriloquist, he was traveling through Texas and he stopped at a comedy club in Dallas, and he's up on stage doing his ventriloquist act, you know, and he's telling Texas jokes. And he's not from Texas, so he's telling jokes that, you know, kind of portraying Texas people as dumb and so forth. And he shouldn't do that, but he was. He was telling jokes like that, and this guy standing out in the middle of the office stands bolt upright and said, "Hey, you can't talk that way about Texans." And the ventriloquist all of a sudden realized that this guy standing up and pointing at him was George W. Bush. Yeah. And George said, "You can't talk that way about Texans. We're proud of being Texans, and you can't call us, make us sound stupid like that. You're telling them jokes, and you're making us sound stupid. Texas is a great place, greatest state in the union. No place like Texas, and we don't like it. You stand up there telling jokes about Texans being dumb. Man, this put the ventriloquist on the spot. I mean, really on the spot. And so he started to, but Mr. President, I apologize. He says, not you. I ain't talking to you. I'm talking to that little SOB sitting on your knee. Yeah, that's the joke. Anyway, I thought that was funny. I heard that very funny. Hey, we've got I'd laugh at my own joke. We got Jeff in Ohio. Jeff, we're going to.
That was fast.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good.
Are you?
I thought I'd give you a call about 2 hours from now. I'm going to be at the Ohio Democratic Party state dinner with John Edwards as the keynote speaker.
Ah,
1,300 of the state's best Democrats.
Where are you having it at?
The Hyatt Regency in downtown Columbus.
Oh, nice place. Been there many times.
Yeah, that's right. You're a Columbus guy.
Yeah, man.
So how you been doing?
Well, excellent. How? The better question is, how have you been doing? How's the campaign going? We need an update.
Going fabulous. For those of you who don't know, I'm running in the 16th District of Ohio for the United States House of Representatives. My name is Jeff Seaman, and regular follower of Guy James and his show. He and I are old friends, so I like to call you up every once in a while and give you a little update.
Yeah.
I wanted to make an announcement on your show, actually, and I just on a couple of different outlets. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about was my health care plan, if that's all right with you.
Certainly.
Okay, cool. The big announcement is we have a health care plan that we're going to try and get passed. It has a lot to do with the single-payer health care plan that Dennis Kucinich has been spreading around. But one of the things that people tend to think when they hear about this is, how is anybody going to buy into something like this, or how are you going to get that enacted? And basically, it's tough to believe that anybody would really care enough about something, a plan like this. So I've been making a promise to everybody that I've been talking to around, usually senators and House of Representatives, and the president and his staff, they get the best health care plans in the country. They get access to the best health care and very, very inexpensive, I might add. And my big concern is there's 43 million people out there who don't get any health care, and there's about 260 million Americans who don't get this type of health care. So my plan is, when I am elected to the House of Representatives, I refuse to accept the access to the health care plan that the government will provide me as a leader of this country.
Excellent.
Until every American gets this type of health care.
I deserve no less.
Absolutely. Just because I would be elected to this office, there is no reason why I should get it when every other American does not get it.
You know, there are other perks. I was in D.C. a while back, and I was at a meeting, and one of the guys there was a former congressman. He's from Kentucky, and he's a former congressman, and I had to walk a considerable way from where my taxi let me out to go, and he got to park right up close to the building.
You want me to give him my parking spot, huh?
I said, what's the deal? You getting to park up by the building? He said, I'm a former congressman. He said, I have a parking pass for life in the parking lot out there. So,
no kidding.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, that's a pretty nice perk.
Yeah, the perks that we give to the leaders of this country. I understand that when you're a leader of the country, there are certain things you should be granted, you know, certain access, but it just goes too far. It's almost as if it's an extra additional class above the upper class.
Well, and you still get that bean soup for a dime. You know, you go down to the congressional cafeteria and they have the senator bean soup. You get it for a dime a bowl.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they're going to change the Freedom Fries to Saudi Fries now, though.
Jeff, let me ask you, how's the battle between you and Mr. Regula going anyway?
I can't believe how much this guy's ignoring me. I can't believe it. We buried him in the primary. We got more votes in my home county, 8,000 more votes in my home county, came closer than anybody has come in 15 years against this guy, and he's holding fundraisers to get himself the committee chairmanship of the Appropriations Committee. He's not campaigning for the election.
Wow.
I can't believe how much he's ignoring me. It's going to be his downfall, the fact that he's ignoring me while we're out there raising money nationally and meeting voters every single day. He's shaking hands with the bigwigs and handing out all of his campaign money to other Republicans.
Well, the advantage of incumbency is huge.
Exactly. My campaign staff did a little research, and it's not complete yet, but they've gone through most of the states in the Midwest, and of all Democratic challengers to Republican incumbents, I received more votes than I think we've gone through all of Ohio, all of Indiana, and all of Illinois. There may be more, but we've pulled in 50,000 votes, more than any other Democratic challenger to a Republican incumbent, and the guy's ignoring me.
Oh, boy.
Go figure. I'll tell you what, though. I couldn't be happier, because come October, when we've got 100,000 in our war chest and decided to dump it all in the 30-day media blitz, he's not going to know what hit him.
Great.
And we're gonna pull this one out. We're going to beat him, and he's never going to see it coming.
Well, as I've told you before, I know this man, and you have got to beat him. You have got to get him out of
office. Oh, we will. Here's the one thing that we're looking at right now. He's working so hard to get this committee chairmanship. He's given all his money out to other Republican congressmen. I'm sure that this is at the request of Bush and DeLay. Play party ball. If this guy has to spend one dime, a 32-year incumbent has to spend one dime on his own campaign against a guy who's never run before me, there is no way DeLay is going to give him that chairmanship. He's going to be basically shunned by the whole party. And at 79 years old, I can't imagine he's working for anything else. That might demoralize him to the point of where does he have to go from
there?
Yeah. I think just by making him work, we're going to bury him. I really believe that.
I love your confidence, my man. I do.
Hey, well, I'm going for it full force. And you know, I'd like to call you up and thank you every chance I possibly get because you were there when I announced, brother.
Hey, give us your website. Can people go in there and throw some bucks your way?
We added a few more. Why don't you try this one? It's the easiest one. Jeff4, and I mean the number 4, Jeff4Ohio.com.
Ooh, I like that.
Or you could do sendjefftocongress.com.
Excellent.
Try those. They all link to the same page, which is Jeff Seaman for Congress, but my last name is spelled a little strange, S-E-E-M-A-N-N, so we added a few that would be a whole lot easier. So give those a try, Jeff4Ohio.com or sendjefftocongress.com.
Hey, you write checks, you send money, you PayPal, you do whatever you have to do. You send money for this campaign.
Thank you so much.
Put your money where your mouth is.
The best of luck to you, sir. I think you're doing a heck of a job down there. I'm really proud of you.
Thanks, Jeff, and it's going to be my pleasure to call you a congressman some of these days.
Well, I'll have you up for some of that bean soup when I win.
I've got my own Senator Bean Soup Bowl, I'll have you know. Straight out of the Senate.
Bring it with you.
I will.
Inauguration Day, we're throwing a big party. You are invited. You broadcast live.
I wouldn't miss it for anything.
We'll have you in.
Thanks Jeff. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
Always good to hear from him. I'll tell you, he's running against an old-timer up there, and I don't mean age-wise, but a guy that's been incumbent for a long time in the Akron-Canton area of Ohio. So, hey, I said I was going to talk about John Kerry. I want to talk about John Kerry this next hour, if we can. We got a few minutes till the top of the hour. But there's some things that have been bothering me about how things are going. And don't a million of you call in and start taking me to task about what I'm going to say. Well, you can if you want to. But I know some of you agree with me. I know you do. As somebody asked John Kerry earlier this week about the attack on his military record by the Republicans. And Kerry replied to public, the public isn't interested in that stuff. Well, I've got news for you, Senator. About 50% of the Americans are extremely interested in that phony propaganda being put out by the Republican smear machine. They're interested, all right. And to many Democrats, it looks like you aren't doing a very good job of fighting back. Quit being so careful. Quit being so political correct. Quit taking the high road, because these guys see it as your weakness and they'll nail you over and over and over again with lies and distortions. And as long as they see you'll take it and not respond with fire in your eyes, they'll keep doing it, just like they did it to Al Gore. Don't forget Al Gore's campaign, damn it. Don't forget that. Last winter during the primaries, Democrats were extremely energized and eager to take on the Republicans and win back the White House. But lately, I don't know about some of you, but I've sensed a decline in the energy level and the enthusiasm level. And it's been because of the way the Kerry campaign people are running that milquetoast campaign. I'm sorry, but I'm just telling you how I feel. It is a milquetoast campaign. We've got a good man, a good honorable man, a man more than qualified to be be president of the United States. But it's a vanilla campaign, Senator Kerry. It's boring, it's lifeless, and it has to change. It's almost as if Al Gore staffers are running your campaign. It's up to you to keep the fire going, Senator. It's up to you. It's up to you to keep the party energized. It's up to you to come out fighting and defend yourself like Harry Truman would. If you want to be our president, act like you want it. Act like you want it more than anything. And you'll fight back until your last breath to obtain it. Act like the future of America depends on your winning this election, because it does. I don't want to hear any more of these monotone, garden variety, empty speeches, Senator Kerry. It's time to display your conviction and your dedication to this effort. I know it's there. Open it up and let it come out. Don't be another typical politico. Show some fire. Inspire the electorate. Earn their votes. Show the undecided voters that you're worthy of their vote. Give the Democratic base a reason to get out and vote. Contrast yourself with Bush. That's not hard to do. Attack his record the way it needs to be attacked. It's not like you're running against a strong opponent, for God's sake. This guy is the weakest, most vulnerable Republican candidate since Herbert Hoover. Show the American people you want the job. Show them you deserve the job because of your conviction to do the right thing for America. We've got a lot riding on you, Senator Kerry. I know you realize that. And I know you can't do better at being a better man, because you are a good man. You're a good candidate. You're qualified. You've got everything a candidate needs. But you've got to light the fire. You've got to throw some more fuel on the fire. You've got to keep it going. Just don't fall into that Al Gore campaign morass that it was during his... You could see it happening to Al Gore. And I sense a little bit of it right now. I'm sorry, but that's how I feel. I'm not sorry. There's too much riding on this. There's too much riding on this, Senator. Too much. If Senator Kerry campaign people listening, you've heard this. I know you've heard it. There are a lot of rumblings about it. The smear campaign haven't fought back well enough, haven't fought back tough enough. If you think you're going to sit there and take the high road against these jokers, you're going to be like Al Gore. You're going to be a highly qualified man just like Al Gore was, a good man, a decent man. But you're going to be on the outside looking in if you don't learn to fight back and fight back hard and throw, you know, fight fire, with conviction. I know it's there. We've seen signs of it in you before. And I know the Bush mistake is making all the mistakes that you could ever want an opponent to make. But don't wait for that. Take the initiative. Take the initiative. Go for the gold, Senator. Go for the gold. We expect it from you. We demand it from you. We have to have it from you. We have to have you win this election. America deserves it. That's just a few words from me, and we'll talk more about it in this next hour. But that's how I feel, and I always let you know how I feel. You're listening to The Guy James Show, 1200 WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers. We'll be back right after the news.
The Guy James Show.
Of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
ABC News has learned more about photos showing the abuse of Iraqi detainees that Defense Secretary Rumsfeld testified had not yet come to light. I'm Dave Schreiber, and ABC's Barbara Britt explains from Washington.
A senior Pentagon official tells ABC News there are hundreds of photos that the Pentagon now has that have not been seen before, including many of prisoner abuse similar to the photos that have already been widely seen. Iraqi prisoners hooded, shackled, and naked, and showing U.S. soldiers out of control and doing things they knew to be wrong, as one senior Pentagon official puts it, adding most of the faces of the soldiers in the photos are already familiar.
ABC's Barbara Britt in Washington. In his weekly radio address, President Bush said U.S. soldiers who abuse Iraqi prisoners will answer for their actions. He said all prison operations in Iraq will be reviewed. The Democratic response was given by retired General Wesley Clark. He said the abuse scandal shows poor leadership by President Bush. Former hostage Thomas Hamel is back home in Mississippi from Iraq. He is getting some long-awaited rest. He is lucky to be alive after being attacked by a bear, ABC's Michael Barr explains.
A Utah man will tell his grandkids, "Did I tell you about the time I was attacked by a bear?" Dale Esplin was with a river rafting party at Desolation Canyon in eastern Utah when his rafting trip went from fun to no fun real quick.
I fell down to the ground and kind of went into a little bit of shock for, you know, a few minutes.
Esplin says the bear grabbed him by the legs and stomach. A friend set off a firecracker and scared the animal away. Wildlife officials later caught the bear and euthanized it. Michael Barr, ABC News.
Presidential candidate John Kerry is on the campaign trail. He is speaking in Louisiana this hour. In California, State Senator William J. Pete Knight, who wrote the gay marriage ban there and took it directly to the voters after failing to get it through the legislature two times, has died. This is ABC News.
Hey, honey?
Yeah?
Today's Mother's Day, you know, and I wanted to do something special for you, so here you go, a little gift from me to you.
Oh, wow. Did you wrap this yourself?
Did I? Of course I did. Go ahead, open it up. Well?
Well, it's a steak.
Yeah, I made it myself. Cooked it over Kingsford charcoal. What do you think?
I think I need a fork.
I think so, too.
Oh, and something to get the wrapping paper off my tongue.
Mother's Day is here, and it's the perfect time to grill. So grab a bag of Kingsford charcoal and head for the backyard. You'll get the great flavor of Kingsford charcoal, and you'll keep Mom out of the kitchen, which ought to make any Mother's Day. Kingsford, because taste is everything.
Democrats, unite. This is the year, and now is the time. Your voice must be heard in Southwest Florida. Join hundreds of other concerned American patriots as we combine our energies, our talents, and our resources to announce to all of Southwest Florida that our presence will no longer be ignored, our voices no longer denied. Our party needs us now. Our country needs us now. The Collier County Democratic Club is leading the way, rising on the tide of determination. Join us at our exciting monthly meetings and learn what you can do to make a difference. Call the Democratic Hotline today at area code 239-434-7754 or log on to www.collierdemocrats.org. Again, call 434-7754 or log on to www.collierdemocrats.org. This is the year, and now is the time. The time to start thinking about tomorrow. The time to start thinking about joining the Collier County Democratic Club. This has been a paid political advertisement, approved and paid for by the Collier County Democratic Club, Bill McMahon, Treasurer.
Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Don't stop. It'll soon be here. It'll be here. Better than before. Yesterday's gone. Yesterday's gone.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things?
Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Hey, I hope you listen to the words of that song. That's a great song, word of mouth. I tell you, a great song, and that it pertains to what we're doing here. I'm sorry if I get worked up talking about things, but you have no idea how bad I want to send these people packing back to Texas. No idea. I have not one iota of respect for the people in this administration right now, and I hate to say that. I do. Even Colin Powell. I've lost all respect I had for him. Hey, a couple of things let me get out of the way right here, and then we'll go to the phones. Had somebody call in, and I want to, as you know, we've talked in the last couple of weeks about our friends Dick and Florence and OJ have this wonderful Harvest for Humanity project going on over at Immokalee. It's a wonderful farm community. It was farmed, well, it was started in June of 1998, and it's created to create innovative solutions to the social and economic challenges faced by seasonal farm workers and their families, and to empower farm worker families and the surrounding community to help bring about the necessary changes and improvement. And we've had a couple of people call in today that wanted to hear more about it, and here's what I can tell you right now. Take a look at the website. It's called www.aboutheharvest.org. www.aboutheharvest.org, and you'll find out all about our good friends Dick and Florence Nojay over there and this wonderful project and their great blueberry farm. Yes, actually growing blueberries here in Southwest Florida. Good ones, too, I might add. And I want to take a moment to tell you folks, especially those of you that love good books, you know, there's nothing like a neighborhood bookstore. Some of the big guys tried to recreate them or to minimize them. Even the Internet tries desperately to create a virtual copy, but neither comes close. And one of our favorites is the oldest bookstore on Sanibel Island, the McIntosh Bookstore. It's a genuine, old-fashioned neighborhood bookstore, a store that in too many towns is now only part of the museum's historic exhibit. But on Sanibel, it's a real, thriving, not virtual, it's a flesh-and-blood store. McIntosh is operated by Jim Dowling. He's a lifetime student of literature, a young fellow who is as unique as the store itself. And the first step inside tells you that this is someplace special. Maybe it's the aroma of the old wooden floors. My wife loves the aroma of a bookstore. Maybe it's the aroma of the first edition books, or maybe it's the wide variety of titles and subjects to choose from. But and also nestled on those old shelves are the latest books on both sides of the political debate. You can find authors of current progressive writings as well as those on the other side of the fence. Currently, for our listeners, he's carrying Molly Ivins, Al Franken, Michael Moore, Jim Hightower, and some others, and of course all the late ones coming out. And by the way, I'm sure they'll have Ambassador Joe Wilson's book on over there soon. We're going to be having Ambassador Wilson on the program in just a couple of weeks. Thought you ought to know that. There are bestsellers available for easy summer reading. They've got children's books, gifts, and cards. And McIntosh is the place for books on nature, birding, and shelling. When you can't find it anywhere else, you can usually get it at McIntosh. And for all you computer folks, why you can take a look at www.sanibelbooks.com, sanibelbooks.com. So stop by, even if you don't buy anything, you're always welcome to come on in and take a look at a real bookstore. That's the McIntosh Bookstore at 2365 Periwinkle Way, Sanibel Island, Florida. And we thank the folks at the McIntosh Bookstore for being friends of the program. I want to list a couple of names. Bobby Kaz, Barbara Presnell, the Democratic Club of Cape Coral, Chris Kern, Dominic Zakari, Bill Beaumont, Sindel Thurimurthy. I know I murdered that name again. Judy Lynn, Robert Matoiza, Charles Whittinger, John Coolidge, Dale Danford, John and Maggie Dowling, William Sherrill, Harold Arthur, Brian Clark, the Collier County Democratic Club, Pam Laszlo, Tony Perrone, Ralph Zimmer, Amy Eisler, Bill Hunt Jr., Margie Hunt, Bill Hunt, Barbara Edmonton, Abe and Sylvia Bernstein, Susan Durman, Vince D'Amici, the Democratic Club of Bonita Springs, Tom Vines, Donald and Judy Dowling, Martin Cooper, Wendy Hessman, Ed Bowers, We thank all of those folks for being a friend of the program and helping keep this show on the air. As you can see, I'm passionate about it, and we've just got to keep it on the air. We're going to go to a guy right now that's been waiting patiently. It's Juan in Fort Myers. Juan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Guy.
Great to hear from you, my friend.
Thank you. Nice to hear you. I called to let you know that I strongly agree with what you just say about Kerry. I think he needs to be more animate about his, or more animated, I guess, about his where he stands. He lives, that he has a strong feeling for where he stands, because he has a better set of ideas than the man that is at the White House right now. You know, I called because I think that the, I don't know what to call it, it's, I guess for a better term, it's neocon radio. I think it's you know, they leave information out. They, if it makes their point, they insinuate things, and they lie and mislead people. But it seems like, you know, that nobody cares that they do that. There's no one to hold them accountable for what they say. And I suppose that they're allowed to get away with this by the, especially, you know, the corporations that own them, because they will get a Republican or a conservative elected that will give them tax breaks, and they will get their money in the long run in a different way. And I think that hurts the American political system, and it hurts, you know, through free speech. Speech is not just one-sided speech. Is what they have. It really, what they have is propaganda. It's propaganda radio, neocon radio, all the same. I couldn't believe when you mentioned that they had another one in the AM radio. There was a neocon. It seems like the only people that are allowed to get in there are neocons. And this, I think, that is very not just dangerous, but I don't know how they get away with it when half of the population is Democrats. I don't understand it.
Well, I'll tell you, Juan, one of the reasons they get away with it is because we Democrats haven't been very good at supporting Democratic radio. We had Mario Cuomo on the show a while back, and Mario Cuomo is the most eloquent, most knowledgeable, most intelligent politician I've ever heard. And he's a fascinating man. Fascinating. And he had a show, and it was canceled after not after too long. And it's just because the support wasn't there. People didn't buy ads. You know, it's got to be commercially successful. Some of it, of course, we're being closed out by these big corporations. But some of it is the lack of dedication by we Democrats.
Okay, so we need to get the Democrats to wake up. Maybe they're afraid of the word liberal, being called a liberal. Maybe they're afraid of how they feel, what they, you know, who they are. Maybe they have no guts. Maybe they should come out and talk and support the radio, because this, you know, is going to be McCain, you know, went to a great extent to limit the amount of advertising before the election, and he did a pretty good job. But if we are given propaganda year, you know, all year long, these people are going to believe that what these people are saying is true, and it's not true. And they don't understand that they can lie and get away with it, because that's what they're doing. That's my point.
I agree. I most certainly agree with you on that. Most certainly do. Thank you for your call, Juan.
Thank you, guys.
Great to hear from you.
Thank you.
Always good to hear from Juan. Always got something important and right on the money to say. How do you feel about the John Kerry situation? I'd like to hear from you. I want to hear your views. You Democrats, you should be calling in right now at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04, and let us know what you think about this situation. I really and truly am interested in hearing what you have to say. And we're going to go to Martha right now. Martha, welcome to the show.
Hi, Guy. Good topic.
Yeah.
But first, let me say hello to a friend and encourage him. It's a nice Democrat who is a security guard who I see every week. You know who you are, Carlo. And I'd like you to support the Guy James Show. Go over the web, you know, go to the GuyJamesShow.com, Carlo, and do it up. send them a little money, or the next time I see you, you can write it, bring your checkbook to work, and the next time I see you, I'll be happy to get a check and bring it to wherever I need to go to bring it to the Guy James Show. Okay, Carlo. Because, you know, I see this guy all the time. He goes, hey, you listen to the Guy James Show? I said, yeah. He goes, I listen to that every Saturday. So there are a lot of listeners out there. They're not calling in. They're not sending in checks. If ever, you know, the 700 Club started. You know how the 700 Club, 700 people sent in $10.
Yep.
Right? $10 is all it takes, folks. Okay. There's so many things I'd like to talk to you about, Guy.
I know. There's a lot to talk about.
Listen, you know I'm a delegate for Kerry.
Yes.
I'm going to the convention. I'm going to Boston. And you're right. I mean, he can be a great candidate. Of course, we're a great party. There are going to be a lot of great speakers there. But in the meantime, he has got to start firing it up.
Yep.
Because, you know, I like a good fight. I really like a good fight. I like to get out there and be in the thick of it. You know, I heard talk last week about a floor fight. I like history. I like making history. I'd be up for a floor fight.
Floor fights are interesting.
Right. But, you know, he has got to quit running a Senate race nationally. He's got to run a national race with all the vigor, all the vim, all of the guts. Because I know he's got guts, you know. He was a great soldier. He's got guts. And by the way, about that, you know, this John O'Neill character.
Yeah, that rat.
Yeah, I know. That Nixon brought out of the closet to attack Kerry way back when has been out on the stump. And I'll tell you, what has happened so tragically with this Iraqi prison scandal, I mean, it is just horrible. It's just threatening our troops, as they are over there anyhow. But it gives validity to what John Kerry was saying before Congress way back when. It's kind of hard for them to come out and say, soldiers don't do things they shouldn't be doing. Because we see this week, horribly so, they have been doing things they shouldn't be doing.
It happens.
Now, it's not the majority of people.
Certainly not.
Yeah, you know, I saw a real interesting article in, it was the Bonita Daily News, which is actually Naples Daily News, about a young woman who has come back from Iraq. She was a reservist. She thought, hey, I'll make $150 a month, you know, I'll go over to Fort Lauderdale, I'll get to a little weekend training, and, you know, maybe I'll have to go to some incident in the United States, and that'd be fine. Well, she got sent over to Iraq to a prison and to do prison duty, basically, not trained for it. And she came back saying, that place is like a hellhole. I never want, you know, she's not reenlisting. Mm. And she can't discuss what her political views are, she says, because the military said that she can't. And they wouldn't like it. But she said she's looking very much forward to the presidential election. And, of course, you get clues about how she's going to vote because she says things like, we should have gone after Osama bin Laden first and then, you know, before we ever went and did this and taken care of Al-Qaeda first because they're the people that attacked us. So it was a great article. It was last Monday.
I saw an email this week from a soldier in Vietnam. In Vietnam. There you go.
Yeah. So,
from a soldier in Iraq. And he's over there now on duty. He's in Baghdad. And he says, George Bush is my president. He is my commander-in-chief. I will follow orders through a brick wall if I have to, because that is my duty. However, I would not vote for George Bush for presidency of the United States again under any circumstances. Nothing could make me vote for him again.
He's been a lousy commander-in-chief for our troops because he has no idea what the troops are going through, because he's never served. I mean, okay, flying around in the champagne unit is one thing, but actually going and doing service with a wartime president, with the situation that we have right now, you need somebody who has a feeling for what it is to be in battle and how much they want to come home. So, Kerry understands this kind of stuff, but, you know, I agree with you. There is so much at stake right now that, by the way, well, I'll mention this later, but real quick. But there's so much at stake that we can't afford to lose this election. I think of Rehnquist stepping down and Scalia taking his place, and that just makes me so fired up that I just can't stand it.
Oh, the thought of it oh, no.
Yeah, right. So we got to do what we got to do. Moderate Republicans, please feel free to help support the Democrats this time around, because you know you don't want to live under a country that is ruled with Justice Scalia being at the top there. A couple of weeks ago, our Democratic office was burglarized. You heard about that?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. Now, the place where we're in an office complex, been there, the fellow that owned it said nobody's ever been burglarized here for 16 years. Broke in the back window, took our computer, all the data. You know, there was a petty cash box there. Nobody went through any drawers. They grabbed the computer. That's all they grabbed. We had other stuff on the desktops, printers, you know, all sorts of stuff in there. Fax machines, all sorts of, you know, stuff you'd like to, you know, go pawn and do whatever you were going to do with it.
Yeah, and just how much is a used computer worth, too? I mean, you know.
Right. It was an older computer.
Yeah.
And also there was another computer sitting there that they could have taken, but they didn't take that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that sounds all very funny. Very strange. I don't want to cast any aspersions, but we all have a feeling about what that's about. I'll say no more. But because of this, we're going to be moving. We've had to buy new computer systems. And I have gone on to that place, fundraise.org,
mm-hmm.
on to the opensecrets.com.
Yes, yes.
If you look here, and the reason I'm saying this is, if you look here and you look at what the amount of donations are that are given to either George Bush or, you know, Senate candidates, presidential candidates, Democrats around here are cheap. And I want you people to get out your checkbooks and start writing checks. I know we all don't have a lot of money, but if we all did a little bit of something, because we've all got to participate in our democracy, if you want the corporations to run your country, you just go right ahead. You can suffer from it, and, you know, we won't be living in a democracy anymore. But if you want to participate, you want to have this country to be what we remember it being, then, folks, you got to, you know, step up, put your cash down where it counts.
That's right.
That goes for the Guy James Show. That goes for our local candidates. That goes for our local Democratic parties, which, by the way, is P.O. Box 1138, Fort Myers, Florida, 33902, the Democratic Party, Lee County. You can send a little something to them. We don't get any money here. You don't get any money from anybody other than the listeners on this show. Our Democratic parties locally don't get any money from out of state. We don't get any money from the Democratic National Committee because they think, you know, hey, we don't bring the numbers out here. Collier County gets 102% of the Democratic vote because they get a lot of independents voting down there. Lee County gets 92% of the Democratic vote out. We want to get that, you know, up. We want to get it like 110. We want to get those independents with us. But, you know,
well,
it takes money.
This is the time to do it, Martha. Hey,
I love you, and I love your show. And Carlo, send in a check to my friend Guy.
Thank you, Martha.
Take care, babe.
Good to hear from you.
All right, bye-bye.
Always good to hear from Martha, our delegate, one of our local delegates to the Democratic National Convention. It's going to be great to have her there. You know, before I get back to the phones, and by the way, you can call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. John Kerry, what do you do? What should you do to become a really effective candidate and absolute guarantee yourself a win? First of all, I would stop nuancing the arguments. I don't like that. That's Mr. Politician. Forget that. You know, take a stand. Take a stand on an issue and don't dance. Don't stay with it. Just a little friendly persuasion. People understand that sort of thing. It's time to tell it like it is, John. Time to get out the L word. Not liberal. I know a lot of people don't want to be labeled liberal. I do. That's what I am. But it's time to start calling things lies. If it's a lie, you know, if you're just saying that the president is prevaricating or misinterpreting something or not telling it to, tell it like it is, John. Tell them they're liars because that's what they are. You know, start calling Bush a liar and demonstrate it. I mean, it's easy to do. It's very easy to do. Use his own words. Use his own words on him. That's the easiest way. Remember, he pledged $15 billion to fight AIDS in Africa and only requested a couple hundred million from Congress. Another little sleight of hand there that he did. Don't mess around with Cheney and Rumsfeld and all these guys. Lay it on Bush. Force him to respond. The press has let him get away with murder. So you got to go after him. Don't just depend on us to do it. You do it too. And don't say here's a president who says one thing and does another, or here's a president who takes photo ops with school children and doesn't fund the program. Say here is a president who lies. Say it. Say it like it is. Don't forget what they're going to do to you in this campaign, John. I can't call you John, can I? Don't forget what they're going to do to you. You ain't seen nothing yet. So take off the gloves. Get off the gloves. Take them off. A lot of ideas there from our friends, Rude Pundit, down at their blog. I tell you, you want to read a good blog, go down to rudepundit.blogspot.com. You'll find some good articles there. Going to go to the phones, going to Irving in Naples. Irving, welcome to the program.
Mr. James.
Yes, sir.
I have to tell you, I've just found your station. It is remarkable. I usually listen to Wave 101 here in Goodlett Arms apartment in Naples. And I cannot believe what a wonderful breath of fresh air you are, sir.
Well, I'm glad you're with us.
George, to tell you what a good soldier I am, George Bush lies. That's it. Now, sir, if I may come to my point. Every day, I live in a retirement community. I have to listen to these rich Republicans living here. I only live here because my son, who is a Republican, but I love him, he provides me with this fine home. But I have to go to dinner. I have to go to breakfast, and I listen to these people. They talk to me about what a god George Bush is. Sir, your presentation regarding John Kerry's fine war record, would you please, I'm going to just take a moment and write this down while you tell me, that if you would please tell me the things that these son of a guns have misrepresented about this fine man. I'm going to write it down.
Well, simply, they've questioned every one of his medals. They've questioned the fact that he got three Purple Hearts and then went home. He did get them quickly. He did earn his Bronze Star. They've disparaged his record. They've brought out a man who said he was on Kerry's boat and said Kerry isn't fit to be president. However, this John O'Neill is a out and out liar because he was never on the boat with Kerry. Never. He got on the boat 2 months after Kerry was there. They brought out some doctor who wants us to believe that some 35, 37 years later that he remembers every last detail of a wound that John Kerry had just from memory and is disparaging as well.
I heard about that guy. I had Max the other day telling me that this guy had pulled as a doctor 30 years ago, and he remembers pulling out like a BB out of John Kerry. I'm saying, you're a lying bastard. That ain't right. The man's a hero.
Yeah, well, that's what the guy remembers. Hey, we got to pause for a commercial. Thank you for your call, Irv. Thanks very much. You're listening to the Guy James Show. We're going to pause for a couple of messages, and we'll be right back.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show. Good afternoon, Guy James fans. Enjoying the show? Hey, we're glad to hear that. Here's an example of one of our future shows. Yes, you heard right. That could be the sound you hear or don't hear from the Guy James Show soon. Here. Let's listen in one more time. The Guy James Show is America's most powerful weapon to counter the poisonous assault coming from the right. The Guy James Show is America's only commercial-free democratic talk radio show. But without the support of loyal listeners like you, this important national voice could be lost. Instead of this,
there's never been a president of the United States who deserved to be impeached more than George W. Bush. Day after day, I think I'm in some sort of a dream when I think about all the incredible lies and downright treasonable acts that this guy and his minions have gotten away with. Over and over and over again, he still sits in the Oval Office. You know, it's amazing, it's incredible, it's unbelievable. You know, there's no word strong enough to describe the contempt I feel for these people.
We could hear this. The Guy James Show, based in fact, produced with pride and delivered with passion. Fellow Democrats, this show is entirely supported by loyal listeners just like you and me. The need is critical, and the time is now. Log on to our website at www.theguyjamesshow.com and show your support. That's www.theguyjamesshow.com, where all that's left is the truth. That's left is the truth. Guy James.
Oh, my. We're in the last half hour of the program. Glad to have each and every one of you with us. You've got plenty of time to call. 888-602-7500. 888-602-7500. 7501, 02, 03, and 04. By the way, you're allowed one phone call per show. And you can call every week unless you, unless you're bad boys and girls, then you don't get to call for a while. So anyway, I promised you earlier when we were talking about the John Kerry situation that I was going to read you a letter by a friend of the show on democraticunderground.com, and known as Vet Wife, well known to people on that. And I want to read just part. It's a long letter, but I want to read part of this letter that was sent to Senator Kerry, and this is a heartfelt letter. Senator Kerry, if you want to win this election, I'm quoting now, if you want to win this election, you're going to have to quit listening to your handlers and start listening to we, the people who want our country back. We are not voting for your strategist. We are voting for you. Forget all the bunk the DLC is giving you, because if the race is truly for the undecided voters, guess what? If people have not decided in 4 years that they're being used and abused, playing too conservative, it's not going to change their minds. Oh, I agree with that. Going on with the letter, your real power is in the people. I am a moderate Democrat, but you have to quit letting people let you play politics with something as important as this election. We the people know it is not politics as usual, and if you lose this, we won't have a republic nor a democracy left by 2008. I'm a Kerry supporter, but I promise that I would hold your feet to the fire of the true Democratic platform. You will have to make decisions, right or wrong, and stand by them no matter what. Forget the polls, forget the Bush people's paid critics, and find your footing and find it fast. Don't talk to the people, talk with the people. And it goes on, it's a great letter. And I tell you that that says it all. It does say it all. We've got to, the people are going to do this. The party's not going to do it. The people are the party. And we need to make our wishes known. We need to get it to our candidate that that we want them to fight and fight hard, fight a little harder. And what do you think about the vice presidential situation? Should I say it? Should I come on out and say it? I don't know if I should say it or not. No, hell. I'd like to see John Edwards. I would like to see John Edwards get the vice presidential nod. You know, putting Edwards on the ticket. I mean, there's a lot of qualified people. There's no question about that. Edward happened to be my favorite because, you know, with him on the ticket, I don't see any negatives to it. Gives us a chance in a couple of the southern states that we ordinarily wouldn't have a chance in. It makes everybody look forward to an Edwards presidency someday. Can't say that I'd mind that. And don't you just absolutely salivate at the prospect of an Edwards Cheney debate. Oh, would I love to see that? Would I love to see that? Edwards will do it. I think Edwards will do it. He'll bring some of the Naderites back on board. That could be a good choice. Now there you have it. That's my choice. What do you think? Love to hear from you. 888-602-7500. Going to go to Steve in Fort Myers. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's the first time I've had a chance to listen to your show. I'm very impressed. I'm from the Boston area originally, and I did have an opportunity to bump into Kerry a number of times. And I know people who do know him, and I will say I knew him when he was a prosecutor. And quite a guy. I remember when he had his picture in the paper after the Vietnam War, and he is everything that he claims to be. He's a hero.
I think he's honest. I think he's sincere. I think he's an honorable man.
Honest and sincere as any politician can be.
Yeah, let's say it. Good, good. That's a good way to say it.
But in comparison to what we have now, you might want to take a moment someday and just look up the word fascist in the dictionary.
Well, unfortunately, lately I have something has spurred me to do that, and you know what it is.
I wonder.
Yeah.
I'm so disenchanted with the current administration, and I certainly hope that people do get out and vote. There are a lot of people out there that share my views, not these staunch Republicans who just follow whatever they're told by the dittos. There are people who stop and think and listen. If they'll get out and vote, maybe we'll be able to get rid of this bunch of fascists.
Well, there's just a group of people, and you know, I know you feel the same way I do. I hate to feel that way about our government. I do. I want to be proud of our president, no matter who it is. I want him to be an honorable man, and there have been Republicans that I've felt that way before. But, and I'll use the worn-out phrase I've used on this show: these people aren't Republicans; they're something other.
They're fascists. I happen to. I'm proud of the fact that I was a good staunch supporter of Reagan during his first administration. I thought he was what the country needed. He had a vision. He spoke well. You know, he brought the country back into some self-respect. And you know, I have nothing against. I'm not a party line person, but this group that we have now, this is not what the old Republicans were.
No, certainly not. Barry Goldwater, Nelson Rockefeller, Dwight Eisenhower.
Barry Goldwater now is a flaming liberal in comparison.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Hey, Steve, thanks for your call. And,
Pleasure talking to you.
Do call us again and keep listening. We're glad to.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. We're going to go to Gene in Fort Myers. Gene, welcome to the show.
Hey, Guy, how you doing?
Doing real well today.
Wanted to let you know about, actually I'm calling from Bonita, and I'm calling to talk about the Collier County Democrat Club and headquarters. Wanted to let everybody that listen to your show in Collier County and in Naples, all the Democrats, and there's 38,000 of them now, in fact over 38,000. We've just opened our headquarters, our official headquarters. Campaign season is now officially starting in Collier County. We're located at the Quality Inn, Golden Gate Quality Inn Golf and Country Club. We have several suites of rooms just on the right as you pull onto the property. We're open already with summer hours every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 till 2. So come out and visit us. Have a cup of coffee. We always got free refreshments there.
You got any free beer?
What's that?
Got any free beer?
For you.
Oh, I don't drink
only
beer.
Only for you.
Well,
after you've been there, we can't afford it.
I was just asking. I can't have any beer, but if I did, I would want to know. I could get some, you know.
Listen, we're looking for volunteers. We've got hundreds already have been to headquarters to volunteer and sign up. We've got tons of tasks to accomplish this summer. We're going to rock the vote like it's never been rocked before in Collier County. I can promise you that. And two main reasons. Of course, we all know the great Democrat uniter is George Bush. He's done more for our party as far as getting people motivated and energized than any president in history. And number two, the Guy James Show. Man, have you done a great job getting the word out over the last year, especially these last few months. I can hear it in your phone calls. You got people all over Southwest Florida calling the show now and supporting the Guy James Show. It's starting to catch on fire, and boy, that's what we like. We like to see it, and we're seeing it in headquarters now. So all you Democrats down in Collier County, don't forget to drop by headquarters, Golden Gate Quality Inn Golf and Country Club, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 10 till 2, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 till 2. Come out and visit with us. We're going to go with summer hours for a while as we organize our volunteer forces. And then towards convention time, we'll be going full steam, full 7 days a week. We're putting together an army, and we're not afraid to announce it. So we're here to do some serious business. Guy, thank you so much for what you do.
Gene, I want to ask you a question. Yeah. I want to ask you a question. I don't know if you were listening earlier when I was talking about kind of jacking up John Kerry a little bit, what I think needs to be done. We had a talk aimed at John Kerry on lighting a fire under that campaign's rear end and getting things going a little bit, because I'm not happy with how it's going. How do you think it's going?
I heard that. I did hear that. I haven't had an opportunity to hear all the show, but I did hear that. I think you're right on target. I think that was a bullseye. I think we can't. God bless Al Gore, but we can't afford another one, and it looks like there's a certain process taking place with John Kerry. But I think our public, which is our Democrat constituency across this country, sees it also, and we're going to bring him back to his senses. Just letters like what we heard earlier, your observations, I think, are right on target. We can't let the handlers run this race. It has to be John Kerry standing up like a war hero, being a war hero, acting like a war hero, and ignoring all the pundits that are trying to second-guess him. He's his own man. He needs to stand up and act like it. As Democrats, we should be proud of everything that he's accomplished in a lifetime of public service and not be questioning him from our side. Let the other side do it. Our side needs to stand up and be counted. We're ready to go to war with George Bush. We've got a great candidate, but he needs to act like it. He needs to feel like it. And you know, we're behind him 100%.
And he's capable of it.
Absolutely.
Completely capable of it.
Absolutely. My wife was saying, boy, we're doing great. Look at George Bush's numbers are going down. I said, yeah, but so are John.
Yeah.
John Kerry's. I said, we've got to turn this thing around. We have the superior candidate. There can be no question about that. The first person that needs to recognize that is John Kerry.
Absolutely. Well said. Gene, thank you for your call.
You bet. Keep up the good work. And folks that are listening, not only in Southwest Florida, but all across the world on the Internet, remember to go to the website and click on the PayPal function there and send $10 or $20. Go to the website, www.theguyjamesshow.com. You'll find an address there, local folks that are listening. Won't hurt you to send $20. Let's keep this show rolling. We're really starting to turn some heads. Guy, keep up the good work.
Thank you, Gene.
You bet.
And before I go to the next caller, hang on just a minute, John, in Northern California. Be right with you. Some people called in and wanted to know our snail mail address so they could send in contribution to the program. It's you got your pencils ready? And I'll give this now, and I'll give it again in 5 minutes. I'll give you a chance to go get your pencils if you don't have them, if you broke the lid when or your pen was out of ink. You know all the things that might happen. 12870, Trade Wave 4, number 108, Bonita Springs. That's Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. 12870, Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. And that's the Guy James Show. We'll do that again in about 5 minutes in case you didn't have your pencils and paper handy. Going to go to John in Northern California. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, Guy. I wish I was voting for you.
Hey.
I'd vote for you in a moment.
We'd give him hell, that's for sure.
You bet. But I think that John Kerry knows what he's doing. I think he's waiting until he sees the whites of their eyes. And I hear a lot of people saying that John Kerry needs to let people know who they are, who he is. But right now, I think people are finding out who George Bush is.
Well, there's no denying that.
I think
Well, the thing is, John, I agree. These guys are trying to hang themselves. They've done their very best. They've had the rope around their neck, jumped off the chair, and still the rope slipped off. But why aren't we 10, 12, 15 points ahead right now? I don't understand that.
Well, George Bush can spend $50 million in a week and not take a hit in the polls. And I don't really have a lot of confidence in these polls anyway.
Well, I hope you're right.
I know who owns the polls. But, you know, last night I was driving by a peace vigil, some members here in town. I pulled over and stood out there with them for a while, and you wouldn't believe how many people were honking at us, giving us the peace sign. And it felt so great, because the last time we did it, they were waving their flags at us and flipping us off. I think people are starting to wake up.
Well, support for this war has definitely slipped, and slipped badly. The numbers are certainly showing that. I know his numbers are going down. I know the confidence level in him is going down. His ability to handle the war in the eyes of the public is going down. You may be right. I just given John Kerry my suggestion. I want to see that old Harry Truman.
I do too.
I
don't want them to burn out too early.
It's, yeah.
The public consciousness is only about 6 weeks.
Are you probably not as old as I am? I don't know if you're
57.
Well, we're right in the same ballpark then. And you must remember Harry Truman.
You bet.
Back during the Kennedy campaign of 1960, Harry Truman was out campaigning for John Kennedy, and some wet behind the ears reporter asked Harry Truman a question about what the Republicans think. And Mr. Truman told him in no uncertain terms, and I think I probably won't even say what Harry told him, but it was in Harry Truman style, and the Kennedy campaign was a bit chagrined at what Harry said, but you could always plan on getting a straight answer from Harry Truman.
Yeah, I think we're going to see that out of Kerry, and I think it'll be soon.
I hope so.
Guy, I love your show. It's like a flashlight in a dark room to me.
Thank you.
Thanks for being there.
Keep listening.
Take care.
We're going to pause for a break right now, probably the last break of the show today, and we hope you'll come right back with us right after the break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James. Good afternoon, Guy James fans. Enjoying the show? Hey, we're glad to hear that. Here's an example of one of our future shows. Yes, you heard right. That could be the sound you hear or don't hear from the Guy James show soon. Here, let's listen in one more time. The Guy James show is America's most powerful weapon to counter the poisonous assault coming from the right. The Guy James Show is America's only commercial-free democratic talk radio show. But without the support of loyal listeners like you, this important national voice could be lost. Instead of this,
there's never been a president of the United States who deserved to be impeached more than George W. Bush. Day after day, I think I'm in some sort of a dream when I think about all the incredible lies and downright treasonable acts that this guy and his minions have gotten away with. Over and over and over again, and he still sits in the Oval Office. You know, it's amazing, it's incredible, it's unbelievable. You know, there's no word strong enough to describe the contempt I feel for these people.
We could hear this. The Guy James Show, based in fact, produced with pride and delivered with passion. Fellow Democrats, this show is entirely supported by loyal listeners just like you and me. The need is critical. And the time is now. Log on to our website at www.theguyjamesshow.com and show your support. That's www.theguyjamesshow.com, where all that's left is the truth. And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Back with you. Just a couple of things I want to get to before the end of the show today. One funny, one not. Received an email from the Newsmax people. Machine Gun Cheney, it's called. And I'll just read it. Dick Cheney is a proud gun owner and hunter. In April, the vice president addressed the NRA to wild cheers and acknowledged his own interest in guns. But a source close to the White House tells Newsmax that Dick Cheney is a true gun aficionado. Cheney's collection, our sources say, is in the hundreds of guns, including pistols, shotguns, and machine guns, from antique Thompsons to the most modern European automatic machine guns. To let off some steam, the vice president has been known to go out to the Federal Training Center in Maryland, where the Secret Service does its own gun practice. A typical Cheney visit, told to us by a person who attended one, included the vice president bringing some 30 guns from his own collection. On the range, Cheney would blow away his targets with Thompson machine guns, the latest German and Austrian machine guns, Lugers, MP5, shotguns, you name it. One after another, an aide would hand the vice president his latest armament, and Cheney would fire away, no doubt imagining Al-Qaeda terrorist in his gun sights. We're told Cheney is a good shot to boot. Cheney is not shy about his shooting activities. Another Cheney friend tells us that at the Cheney's Christmas party last year, he showcased to guests a video of himself shooting while hunting. Well, isn't that nice? I just thought you'd all like to know that the vice president's very, very, very interested in that. Now, a serious subject that I've got to take a few minutes and talk about. Many of you are familiar with Greg Palast, a guest of the show some time ago, but a man who does investigative journalism as well as anybody in the business right now. And Greg has been doing much research into this problem of removing people from the voter rolls. Do you remember what happened here in Florida during the 2000 election? Do you remember that Governor Jeb Bush and Secretary of State Catherine Harris ordered local election supervisors to purge 57,700 voters from the registries, supposedly ex-cons not allowed to vote in Florida. About 90% of the people on those on that scrub list are innocent, not felons. Notably, more than half, about 54% of them, are black and Hispanic. And as this article says, you can argue all night about the number ultimately purged, but there's no argument that this electoral racial program ordered by Jeb Bush's operatives gave the White House to his older brother. Now they have this new Help America Vote Act. Isn't that nice? Help America Vote Act. Doesn't that sound really helpful? Well, guess what it does? It requires all 50 states to implement a similar search and destroy mission against vulnerable voters. Specifically, every state by the 2004 election must imitate Florida's system of computerizing voter files. The law then empowers 50 secretaries of state, 50 Catherine Harris's, to purge these lists of suspect voters. Now I ask you, is this an ace up the sleeve or not? How many of you trust? How many of you trust Republican secretaries of state from around the country? How many of you trust them not to repeat what Catherine Harris did in this state? And by the way, the company that did the purge here in Florida is now doing some other work for the government, recommended by Jeb Bush. They did such a good job of stealing the votes from people here in Florida. You can argue about all the damn hanging chads you want to. You can argue about all the voters that couldn't tell about the cards over in Palm Beach County. You can argue about that until the cows come home. And that's what they love to do. Oh, we've counted these votes many times, blah, 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 blah. But we still won. You won like hell. You stole that election. You can call me a poor sport all day long. I don't like to lose when it's stolen from me. And that's exactly what happened. Catherine Harris, the Secretary of the State of Florida, stole the election from Al Gore. It's that simple. If those people are back on the rolls, and like I said, 90% of them were black and Hispanic, actually 54%. 90% of them were innocent of felonies, so they would have voted. How many votes do you think they would have given Al Gore? He'd be in the White House today. So don't follow the straw man of them coming up with this crap of saying, oh, how many times do you want to count the votes? I tell you what we wanted. We wanted people just to be able to vote. We wanted the people who deserved to vote to get their vote. And they stole it from them. And they're trying to do it again with this damn Help America Vote Act. How many other things have you seen the Bush people do? Put a nice little, the Clean Air Act, or the Forest Act. Go out and cut down all the trees, and we'll call it the Forest Act. Steal the votes from thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of voters in the country this time, and it's called the Help America Vote Act. It's like giving you arsenic and calling it sugar. That's not how it works, people. We can't allow this to go on. Wake up. If this is happening in your state, say something about it. They're purging people from the voting rolls. Everybody knows this is going to be a close election. We know that. It shouldn't be, but we know it will. And here these people are. Stealing votes again. Did you know that those 57,000 voters from Florida who were found to be innocent and should not have been purged from the voter rolls, did you know their names still, to this day, are not back on the voter rolls? Did you know that? Still can't vote. And they're not going to be able to vote because Jeb Bush filed some sort of a hardship with the feds, Federal Election Bureau, saying, they couldn't get them back on in time. They sure took them off fast. They had that all ready to go in case they need it. They're ace in the hole card this last time, and it worked for them. And they're counting on it working again. As sure as I'm sitting here, these people are planning on stealing the election again, if that's what it comes to. Make no mistake about it, they'll do it. Make no mistake about it, they've got the plans in the works to do it. And make no mistake about it, they have the ethics to do it. We know that. We know it. They've done it before. They will do it again. They have no conscience. They have no regard for the people of the United States. They don't give a damn whether they steal somebody's vote away from them or not. They don't care. Why? Because they need to be in office to service all their fat cat friends and keep stealing the wealth away from the average American Joe so we can have more working poor in this country than they can all live in their palaces. That's exactly how it works out. Listen, I'm awful thankful for you joining the program today. Very thankful you're listening. As always, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. You've heard the Guy James Show.
Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive Producer, Gene Charles. Research Director, Michael Merrick. Production Manager, Frank Princeton. Program Coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
Next, this is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.